Blog Talk Radio.
Crazy, it got mixed up. I'm here right now. Okay, all right, you guys, I am here today. I'm gonna try to do a short show. I want to first off top of the hour apologize to you guys, because last week the sound was a little messed up because my headphones, I forgot to do something in my headphones, and so that's why I sounded so distant. I apologize. I'm going to try to hit some of those topics again tonight, a few of those topics, okay? But Saturday, I'll put some on. God bless, I come on Saturday, hopefully, you know, during the day, and we will get some of those hot topics piping, okay? And I will throw them in with some new hot topics. But first, tonight, we're going to start off a little bit different. I got to talk about Denia Jackson's interview, who was married to Derrick Jackson. Y'all remember him, the relationship guru guy, okay? He used to give the relationship advice out in the car and stuff like that to women. Women loved him. Women made him a millionaire, okay? Now, you know, the tea came out that Derrick was cheating on his wife. He was foul, foul. Like, out in these streets, like, running around. Like, he ain't had no one good chick. He had a whole bunch of them. It's not funny, but it messed up, right? He was being a hoe out in these streets. Well, today, an interview dropped, an interview dropped with Denia Jackson talking, because you remember Denia. Y'all remember Let me see if we got it. We pull it up on YouTube. Denia, and I meant to have it all ready for y'all. But this show, y'all know how I be doing. It be messy sometime up in here. So, okay, hold on. Let's see if I can pull her. Y'all remember her, the wife, when she remember when all the stuff, when Tasha K, all the things was breaking out about her. Let me see if I got this up. All the stuff, all the news and stuff was breaking out about her and her husband, about her husband cheating and everything like that. And Denia went crazy on everybody. She came out in a bonnet. She was talking about, she was praying and she was cursing us. Remember this? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, y'all remember that when Denial was on in the war, you know, war outfit? Was like she was going spiritual warfare, and hey, I understand, sis, but it was like she was out in these streets like she was going to war, and we was like, you shouldn't be war at war against us. It ain't us who's cheating. We ain't got nothing to do with it. What you going out in war with us? She had an army outfit and a bonnet. She was ready, okay? Sis was ready, okay? Now, today, the completely on, and let me see, let me get this right. So, on Denia, let me look it up here. On tonight, Denia showed, I want to get the right person, the right show. Denia was on, Dear Future Wifey podcast, and she did a great interview with him. Shout out to him, great interview. Honey, Denia done put away the army suit, the weapons of warfare. She got her hair laid, makeup flawless, honey looking good, okay? It's a total different Denia in the house. Not one with the bonnet. Remember she had the bonnet on? Everything. I talked about it on the show. I talked about her having that bonnet on the show, okay? I said, hey, I don't know what you're going to warfare on. Denia talked a little bit about that. This interview was rather interesting. I'm going to let y'all hear a couple of pieces. Let me see what we get.
I got back to help, helping me with the kids, taking that on so I could really just, hey, choose between the condo you spend all your time and the family you created.
What you've been through, because when you deal with that certain type of personality, it'll make you have to rethink and restructure and reimagine what words actually mean, because those words can be used against you. And we'll dig deep.
They can talk them out. They can touch however they want. Oh, you're so fun. These little touches turn into something
touches.
Else.
Some more touches.
Other touches. Mm-hmm. Right? There was a lot of that. There was a woman that was bold enough to sit on his lap, and he didn't even do anything about it. And I had better words from him at that time because I had been in therapy, so I was practicing those tools. And, you know, it still was like, okay, well, this is part of my job. This is what comes with it. You have to be more secure. And I'm like,
okay, so let me tell y'all what Denia is talking about. I went a little ahead of myself, but Denia is talking about that she used to work for her husband. Chad, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, too, because I got a lot to say. Okay. Denia used to work with her because, you know, her husband was balling, Shy Collin out here giving y'all advice, right? And listen, ladies, a lot of people have been dogging his advice. Hold on, let me just say this, okay? And like they dog Steve Harvey's advice. Let me just say this. There is a lot of people. It's like pastors. There are preachers. Motivational speakers, everything. There are a lot of people that give out great advice that you should probably listen to. It's like when you was a kid, when your mama, if you had a mama that said, get away from, you know, don't you be smoking. And then you see them lighting up a cigarette and they smoking. You're like, hey, how's she going to tell me not to smoke, right? But it wasn't bad advice to give you to not smoke. I ain't saying some of Derek, I was never that into Derek, but I ain't saying some of that advice wasn't good that he was giving y'all. He just wasn't following it. That happens a lot, okay? Now, what she's talking about when she's seeing women sitting on his lap and stuff, she used to work for him. She used to go on the tours with him when he go on tour, I guess when he do book shows and everything, and she was talking about how bold women get with famous men, right? You know, they be sitting on their lap, they be doing whatever. But see, that's when the man's supposed to check. The man says, you know, your wife is over here. Now, see, she said, because these touches can turn into something else, because she was saying they was touching on them and stuff like that. I mean, now, this is my thing. I think the man should take care of that. The man should check them, okay? Check, especially somebody sitting on his lap and stuff like that. Just, you know, it depends. I'm going to say this, okay? Sitting on his lap because he's been giving out relationship advice that wasn't appropriate. But maybe if you married to something kind of, I don't know. Like Chris Brown or somebody, I could see something like that. And, you know, I don't know, because Derek was kind of giving out relationship advice or something. I don't know. But he knowing he was married, I just thought that was foul, okay? So, but she was there. She was standing there the whole time because she'd be taking the pictures. And and so she was just talking about how disrespectful women were in that atmosphere. Now, she also, let me put this up here, okay? I'm just going to paint little pieces. Y'all got to go to the Dear Wifey,
dear future wifey to watch the whole interview. But let me see, where is it? Child, let me get up here. Where's she? I'm trying to get this. Okay, that's part one.
Cover, uncover, and recover love. To DDI today.
Okay, I haven't got to it. Okay, child, let me get to the right one, okay? Is this part one?
I'm secure, but it is not okay for this to happen, you know? And so that.
Okay, we gonna get to it, y'all. I'm getting to part two. I'm gonna try to get to part one here in a minute. But she has some very interesting things to say. Let's see, is this part one? I think this is, okay?
Are you
gonna
keep the list today?
All the way. Turned up.
You and I have had some conversations in the pre-interview. We've been getting to know each other for about the last week and a half.
Yes.
And, man, when I tell you, I've been blown away by your transparency, your vulnerability. You know, and social media had this way of trying to...
You kind of get a range there. And so that's me pretty much in a nutshell. Very reserved. I'm very loyal. Sometimes clearly to my own detriment.
Yeah.
And so... that's a little bit about me.
Well, when you say loyal to your own detriment, has that always been the case?
I feel like it has, at least in my adult years. Probably not so much as a child, but when I'm looking back on why that is, it stems back to a root of, like, rejection and abandonment.
Now, I totally agree with her. I agree. She went into a lot about her younger years. She talked about how her parents got together. She said, you know, they was playing video games, you know, and then a couple of months later, still a month later, here she was, you know what I'm saying? So, and also the feeling of, you know, of trying to chase that love. It's very interesting to listen to her. But there is a few things in the interview. I really found very interesting. Let me see if I can pull this up. A couple of things I really wanted y'all to hear, okay? So if I can pull. Okay, let me see if I can pull this up so y'all can hear this one part of the interview. I didn't have my clips together, y'all. Y'all know how I be out in these streets, okay? I be trying. See if we can get it, okay? Now, this is him talking to her about how she knew about the different women, okay? So let me,
Stop. Let that sit there.
Hold on.
I became a shell of myself. I didn't know who I was. I actually have a couple posts on my page where I have a post that says, I knew her body better than I knew my own.
Stop. Let that sit there. You said you knew another woman's body better than you knew your own.
Yes, several women. I knew several other women's bodies better than I knew my own. And I spent a lot of time, like I was in such a deep hole where I was like studying these women. I would go to their profiles and I would study their pages and like what they wear. I knew when they had met up. So I watched their videos of them having sex. So I would try to imitate that and recreate that in our relationships so that he could choose me and want me. And that is a low point to be, and I'm tearing up a little bit because I hate that I even got to a point where that was a thing, but it was just that. And so I knew several other women's bodies better than I knew my own. I completely lost myself. I became a shell of myself. I tried to imitate their hair, their actions, even sexual things that I had seen him doing with them. I tried to recreate that in our life when we were engaged, and none of it amounted to anything.
Okay. So, listen. So I got to tell y'all how I watched most of this interview. I'm on the last half of it. It's like a four-hour interview, child, but that's how much there was out in the street. But anyway, here's the thing, okay? I came away from that interview, and all I could think about was Laura London. Really, seriously, all I could think about was something that she had said a while back about how most relationships are forged in ego, you know, and stuff like that. And I was like, my God, like, you know, like, oh, my God. I mean, it was just a powerful thing and something that she was talking about Nipsey Hussle was saying. And I'm going to get to that in a minute here. But listening to her, I came away with this. I didn't want to talk about how bad Derek was, okay, because I think people know that. I think people already see, you know, this man was out in these streets, okay, and it wasn't a situation where he was cheating and he had one person and he was confused and he was this and that. He had multiple women, okay, and if you listen to this interview, one of the things you discover in this interview is that Danaya was very aware of who he was. And that's kind of what I want to talk to women about. That's why I put for the title tonight, Danaya Jackson interview and the responsibility of women. Because I think it is so easy. Women, not all, and I'm not blaming women tonight because nobody, first of all, nobody likes to be, I've talked about this on the show, even when we talked about Jada Pinkett, everything. I've talked about how I believe infidelity is never one story, right? You know what I'm saying? It's never always people just trying to be a dog. You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a lot of different other things, okay? So I have learned to not be as judgmental on that subject. However, I'm going to specifically with Derek, I think a lot of women become very judgmental and angry and harsh about this subject with men. But sometimes, and this is what I even say in the Melody Hope situation with Martell Hope. What Martell did, if you guys watch Love in Huntsville, Alabama, and the story going on with Melody Hope and Martell Hope had been cheating on Melody a number of years, allegedly, with a side chick whom he eventually had a side baby about. Rumors were, for that Melody ain't been knowing about this girl back and forth for many years. And when the relationship was over, everybody was beating in Martell, and rightfully so, because, you know, Martell went and had another side baby. He wasn't very careful, right? But I also, one of the things that aggravates me the most on the show was Melanie's inability to say, hey, where was I at fault in this thing? Not in the cheating, but where was I at fault in the failure of my relationship? Not the cheating. Where was I at fault in the failure? Cheating itself. The failure of my relationship. And you will find a lot of women sometimes will not take responsibility where they're at fault in the failure of a bad relationship. Not the responsibility for somebody going out and doing something bad. You know, your responsibility in the failing, because failure of the relationship happened for cheat. So I want to specifically talk about Danaya, because Danaya said a lot of alarming things in this interview. And to me, the alarming things were about her. Now, she looks beautiful. I'm glad. She looks like she's funny. She's somebody I would hang with. She is hilarious. I mean, I was like, whoa, is that the same girl I'm sitting up there talking about? I mean, you know, talking, I got the blood. Something wrong with that, but it was just like it was weird. It was strange. And she kind of explains that a little bit in the interview. She was fighting for her mental life. And sometimes, listen, when you're a person of faith, I'm going to tell you this, okay? Especially when I was really deeply, you know, like at one time, I remember years ago, you deeply in church and you deeply in the Lord, I mean, you, especially when you're a young Christian, you will do things. You will go out and pray wherever. You don't care because you just like, hey, I just, especially, and even not even as a young Christian, but when you're hurting, you will do anything, you know, to seek God. And she was just saying she was trying to keep her mind, so it was making her look a little crazy. But really, I get what was going on. She was trying to keep sanity, and so she, even though it seems unbalanced, I think that she was also dealing with so much at that time. So, you know I joked about her on here, but I said she needs to get herself together. Remember, I think I gotta pull that. But I said you need to put that balling off, honey. And she done did all that. She looked good. Okay, so here's the thing. To me, these are lessons that we can learn from Denia Jackson, or anybody can learn. The first thing is that people, it's one of my favorite quotes from Oprah Winfrey. I love it. Let me see if I can find it on YouTube. Like after this, tonight we're going to have a lot of quotes up and stuff like that because I just feel like we got to use them. Let me put this up. If I can find it. It's one of my favorite shows with her and Maya Angelou years ago. And they were talking, and I thought it was so powerful. And I remember me and my grandma, we always used to laugh and joke about Maya. I'd be acting like Maya Angelou, and my grandma we acted like Oprah because I'd be like, you know, I'd be saying Maya's voice, Oprah, and stuff like that. So I always used to laugh at the interviews, but this one was so good, and it was something powerful that Maya Angelou said to her, and I thought, geez, and Maya Angelou is one of my favorite. Even though she's passed on, she's still one of my favorite poets, writers, everything, okay? But she always had wisdom. So let's check this out.
One of the most important lessons I ever learned from you, and I still am, you know, I think I know the lesson, and then I'll walk into a situation and think that's that same lesson. That is, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Yeah. Absolutely. If a person says to you, I'm selfish, or I'm mean, or I am unkind,
or I'm crazy,
or I'm crazy, believe them. They know themselves much better than you do. But no, more often than not, those of us who don't trust life say, don't say a thing like that. You're not really crazy. You're not really unkind. You're not really mean. And as soon as you say that, the person
lets you know
and shows you, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was unkind. So now why are you angry?
This is the first lesson from Denia Jackson. When a person shows you who they say they are, who they shows you who they are, that's who they are. They ain't lying to you. And, you know, when we, and part of this I blame for Denia because she was in her 20s. In your 20s, you a fool, okay? You a fool. You a fool, fool, fool. Most of the time. Not all y'all, but a lot of us, okay? You a fool. 20s, oh, my God. When I look back at the 20s, I'm like, Jesus. Oh, God. I shudder. I mean, you, and there's people in their 40s and 50s. Don't get it black twisted. 50s, 60s, whatever. Fools, okay? But in your 20s, you put up with a lot of stuff because you're trying to, in your head, develop. You're trying to learn to develop relationships, and you're trying to learn how to develop, how to interpersonally relate to people, and you may try anything you're going through. Plus, you're coming out of childhood, and you're trying to understand yourself as a person and what you grew up in. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things you chasing sometimes in your 20s are a result of childhood trauma, even in your 40s and 50s, okay? You know, 60s and 70s. Sometimes take a lot of people a long time to get out of it, okay? But it's the result of crazy thoughts. And one of the things is when people tell you who they are, believe them, okay? Man, I don't know how many, when I was in my 20s, dudes who I dated who was bums told me they was bums ahead of time. They say, I'm bum. I ain't crap. But I thought, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, I could change the game. You know, because I thought I was that, just that fly. But he was like, hey, I'm a bum. It's a lot of them that said, I'm a bum. But I didn't believe him. I was like, no, you're not a bum. You're a sweet person. Don't say that. And they eventually proved that they was bums. I really had one person I was dating, and I called him Lucifer. I mean, I call him Lucifer now. But when I was dating him, you know, he kind of told me, I'm evil. I'm the devil. I'm like, yeah. And then he was the devil. He really, literally was Lucifer. And I stick to it to just say, Lucifer. He told you. So this is the thing about Denia. Denia was in this relationship with this man. This, she said at one point in the relationship, right, she was going with him. She met him in college. First of all, she met him after a traumatic event. She had been raped, okay? Raped. And women, I will say this all the time. If you've had trauma in your life, like a rape or something like that, do not try, go get help. That joker showed up 3 weeks after this situation and incident had happened, and she hadn't told anyone, okay? And sometimes spiritually what's happened to you, you don't sometimes understand that spirit is still over you. I remember me and some friends were talking, and they were telling me about their situations about rape in their lives. And one of my friends said that for her, both of them, said it happened 3 or 4 times. And we were talking spiritually. He was like, what do you think? Why do you think that happened? And all that. I said, well, you know, we can't answer things. You know, we don't know. I said, but spiritually, I said, you might have been carrying an energy of that drew them spirits to you because you wasn't dealing with the spirit. You wasn't dealing with what happened to you. And so instead of healing and dealing with what happened to you, you go into, you put it away, which is easy for women to do. Listen, because that's such a horrible, traumatic event, that you attract another person in your life that's the same kind of energy and the same kind of spirit. And I noticed one of my friends had gotten raped by a person she didn't know, and then she attracted 2 more that raped her that she did know. And I feel like with Denia's case, there was somebody to come to take that. She had already been raped spiritually. And so that energy it does something to your soul to where if you don't get no healing, you can't see properly. And so when he came along, she wasn't seeing him. She was in a daze. She was traumatized because she was raped. And he didn't know. But listen, but the spirits know, right? That's these spirits that's behind people, okay? And so she started dealing with him, quickly going into, I think from what I hear, remember, and I quote, forgive me if I'm wrong, but a sexual relationship with him. She realizes that he's a player. He's got all kinds of women. This is what, they're in college. She's realizing he is a player. He's got women everywhere. Okay. So much to the point, she said. I had to laugh about it because she's in her 20s, and she was saying they was rotating. So she said they would come down the steps. She'd be going for her appointment, and another one would be coming down the steps. she was like, they was all okay with it. Listen, when you're 20s, you're going to be thinking straight. First of all, it's not only just somebody who raped, but in your 20s, you just ain't right in your head. In my 20s, early 20s, I was dating this fool. I mean, he was beautiful. He was good looking. He was so good looking. I was dating this fool. I mean, you know, I was playing too. I was acting the fool with my dang on self. But I literally came to his place one day, and I was knocking on the door, and I heard a girl in there, and he up there lying. I'm like, ain't nobody here. And I'm with one of my friends, right? And they like, dang, what? Like, you know, I said, it was literally, and, I mean, I literally knew about the other chick. It was just so stupid. So he was showing who he was. He wasn't lying about it. He was like, I'm a hoe. Okay? I might be good looking, but I'm a hoe. I might like you even the best, but I'm a hoe. Right? And so the same thing this man was showing her. He was constantly showing her that, listen, I am a playboy, okay? And so let me see if I can get this part up here.
Yeah. Right, so there's a lot of women involved in that time.
Let me pull it up.
That time that I had a conversation with his mom, and I was like, but it's really because I just sat here and watched you have sex with, you know, or, you know, right? So, Blue,
okay.
And we had the same car. His was just like 2 years.
You said you and
Faith. Yeah, we had the same car, so we were, I would set up times for us to go race, and setting them up, and it worked.
Faith, so how did y'all set it up?
Maybe I was emotionally cheating. Okay, I'll give you that. In college, 9 years before we ever got married, so I didn't cheat on my husband, you know, but it was like, no, you cheated on your husband while we're in marriage. I'm like, no, you can't use that because we weren't married at the time, so.
Did you have an emotional affair with old Fabian? Did you like him?
No. I did not. I was dealing with some severe heartbreak. Like, the things that I seen Derek doing with other women at the time, and I was really attached to him, and then you have to think I was coming off of that rape trauma.
Yeah.
And so I never talked to anybody about. And so there was a lot of turmoil that I was having. I wasn't thinking about, oh, say you this guy that I'm trying to be with. I'm thinking, how am I going to get this guy back? But then at the same time, I don't want to
lose him.
You know, but.
You want to feel the pain, but don't lose him.
Right. And it's like, what?
But then you're not even speaking up about what you saw.
Exactly, right? So these are all the issues that I brought into the relationship. Lack of
communication. And the fact of not speaking up was the same thing that you practiced when you were sexually assaulted.
Exactly. So it just carried over, and I didn't realize the power.
Now, she's talking about how she saw him being sexual with lots of women. She saw him even when she was pregnant, how she told his mom, because she got pregnant by him. All the other girls now, listen, I'm going to get a first time an accident, okay? First time I'm going to say it's an accident, okay? Y'all know how y'all chicks be doing out here, and then some fellas too, but y'all know, because me and the trappy too, but y'all know how y'all be doing, okay? She got pregnant while she knew he was not in a committed relationship with her, okay? Now, let me just say this, ladies. Some men will be loyal to their reputation and not to you, meaning that if you get pregnant by them or something like that, they'll feel an obligation to probably, and to me, this is what I felt that she was saying with Derek. He went ahead and married her, and I think he felt the obligation to his reputation. He didn't want her out there being pregnant and everything like that. But let me see if I can find this other part.
Came back and wherever he was, and he could find me, and then he can console me. But he didn't really know he was consoling me about his indiscretion as opposed to the lie that I told him.
Right.
And so all of that is toxic behavior. And I had to go back and really deal with that later on once I started to realize that, hey, Zane, you are not well. You are not okay. And really deal with why I was doing that and unpack it. So.
And so, on again, off again, situationship, commitment, lack thereof, 9 years, you go through this. And you said right before y'all got married or got engaged, I wasn't even together. Please help me understand that.
Yeah, so before we moved to Atlanta, we were off. We got off because he was dealing with some girls and things like that, and it was an issue. And at that point, I was very, like, hostile and all that towards him, just like, I'm not going to deal with this, and you know, F-boy and all these things,
yeah.
right? I had some different kind of choice words and language at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord saved me, my mouth. Thank God for deliverance.
I think a lot
yeah.
of people give you a pass on whatever word you decide to use back then.
But no, at that time I had asked him, I was like, do you believe the things that you're saying, right? Because this is at the beginning of his career really, like, taking off. And I'm like, do you believe the things that you're saying? And it really caused a rift. And so we were off. And so that time that we were off, we were still messing
because
around.
Because you questioned whether or not he believed that which he was sharing with the masses on avoiding F-boys and that type of stuff. Y'all fell out because you asked him if you truly believed what he was saying?
I asked him that, yes. Yes, it was a big thing, and we did fall out, along with the fact that there was actually other girls at the time. And so it was just all too much, and so we end up ending that, and then we both end up moving to Atlanta. Even though what that means, right? He called my mom. They don't even get along, first off, like that. So that meant a lot.
Why didn't they get along?
I left my phone in his car when I first met him, and he called her, and that conversation didn't go well. So ever since then, it's just been like a battle between them, and I've kind of been in the middle of it, and it created a lot of anxiety in the relationship. So I actually
and my man.
Mrs. Jackson, okay, Mrs. Jackson, okay, if you're nasty, we were celebrating this housewarming because we just moved into this new house, so the plot was, oh, we're celebrating the housewarming, but everybody else knew, hey, engagement, but little I knew, too. And so he had this song play, and it was like right before midnight, and it came on, and he gets down on one knee, and he's like proposing to me, and I'm
it was all this pain I went through.
Yeah,
it was
paying off.
Yeah, it's paying off. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
All the joy.
Your morning.
All the joy.
Yeah.
You know, the bragging that I did. Mrs.
Mrs.
Jackson, okay? Mrs. Jackson, okay, if you're nasty. That was my thought.
That's
your
thought.
Right? Listen, I got faith.
Okay, so I wanted to hear y'all. It was a variety of things I let y'all hear from that interview. But she, see how she was so happy that she won him? Now, she even says it. She said she was happy because she was thinking about all the other girls. Like, I got him. I got him. Because she got a prize, okay? Now, he ain't no prize if he out here hoeing around in these streets. Is it a prize? Is it a prize if he hoeing around? Is it a prize? But, you know, in your 20s, you be thinking, because you be like, boy, I done finally secured the D. I secured it from everybody. Okay, that's what she thought she did. She was like, she said she was up there. She's talking about, she was saying, Miss Jackson, you nasty. Ah, she was happy. She was like, yes, girls, yes, I got them, or whatever. And of course, he thinks he's the prize, right? And he has not changed his behavior. He has not shown her any kind of change in his behavior. He was still hoeing. She was pregnant a second time at 6 months. This is, I think, before the marriage. Okay? And he still got the females out there, okay? Okay, still. So this is what I want to say to women tonight, because it's just simple. Derek never lied about who he was. He never lied. I don't care if he said, yeah, I'm going to be faithful to you. If his actions did not show you that he was doing that, he ain't never lied. He showed you who he was, everything, and you didn't believe him. You still trying to make him, I'm still trying to make, you trying to make that man a husband, and he ain't no husband. He's, you know, he's out in these streets. She played, and you should hear, she was saying, hey, she was in it to win it. She was trying, later on in the interview, she starts talking about how she felt he was the big prize, and she was trying to win it, okay? Because, listen, and I'm saying her name is Danae, it's not Denaya. Forgive me, I said her name wrong completely. But Danae was saying how she knew she was in competition with these other chicks, right? You knew, she knew. okay? Like, it wasn't no thing. She knew that this was going to, and so there was a game going on with her, too. Highly manipulative game, a game where she's sitting up here talking about, I'm watching him have sex with other women. I'm trying to be what they are so that I can attract him. Now, sidebar, all women, when you like somebody, you do try to lay it on, right? You know what I'm saying? You be like, oh, this girl gotta be cute today. I gotta be cute when I see him. I gotta be cute. Okay, it ain't just that. Okay, that's it. That happens, okay? When you like somebody. But when you trying to be somebody else, that's a manipulation. You trying to fool this man and make him think that you these other chicks, okay? So, so to me, that shows she was very manipulative in this relationship also. I believe he was her self-esteem. I believe she felt like getting him was her prize, and it proved I'm something special. I'm great if I get him. I'm Mrs. Like she said, Miss Jackson, if you're not Nancy, her self-esteem was tied to him. And she begins to go on and says that how when she was married to him, you know, he was they went on a honeymoon because, you know, he had money at that time from all the chicks, you know, that was listening to his advice and stuff. And she was talking about, man, she had never seen no stuff like that, you know. Like, it was, they was living large. They was living nice. And see, what is it? A lot of women who with men with money, they'll put up with some stuff because them dollars is coming in. They be like, child, he might be a fool out in these streets, but shoot. At least I'm up here in this 9,000-foot mansion, square-foot mansion, because she said that's what they had, right? And she was head of his business. So he continues to be a playboy within the marriage. She knows it. And she's one of the head people in his business. Now, she had asked him beforehand, when y'all heard that part I played in the interview, she asked him, did he believe any, before they were married, do you believe any of this of what you're saying? Do you believe any of this? And he got upset with her. That was her answer right then and there. But, no, she gets married to the dude, and she goes ahead and works for him, knowing the Negro don't believe what he's saying. Okay? Okay? So here is the thing, just hoping for it to get better. I'm just hoping. Girls, this is where I have to say, and then she goes, wait, well, let me say this right here. She also talks about, when I also played that clip of where she said that she was talking about him and her mother's relationship not getting along. She also talks about she had told his mother that she wasn't going to wait for him 7 years. She was pregnant again, I believe, with the second one already. See, okay? Second one was not a mistake. That's not my, I don't believe second ones are a mistake. Second ones are you subconsciously, even if it was a mistake to you on the surface, you subconsciously was hoping that second one would tie his ass down, and it did not, no such thing. And so she gets into this thing. She's hoping that he, and he's feeling a sense of, I need to be responsible because I need to protect my reputation because I'm telling all these chicks, you know, don't mess with F-boys and stuff like that. So he's going to get married. And I believe she understood that pressure from him. I totally believe she understood this. So, ladies, where I'm going with this is that women, before you get on, Danae has a right to tell her story. And she to me, she's accepting some responsibility, but there's a whole lot of it I think she has to accept. And the big thing that she needs to accept is that this man constantly told you who he was. He didn't ever lie to you. He lied, but he lied only after you refused to see who he was, who he told you in the first place, and he was showing you with his actions. Yet you still had babies. You still got married. You still worked for him. You still was excited when he finally married you, even though you knew he was a cheat, talking about he was the prize and all of this stuff. And women, you have to face that you are just as responsible. This was a guy who was he was never faithful in the 9 years preceding their 9-year relationship preceding the marriage. And some women, I have seen it constantly, time and time again, where women will know this. I have had friends who know when we was young. Know that this man didn't like him. I say, girl, you know he don't like you, he playing on you. I have one friend, he used to go back and forth between all these chicks. He had about five chicks fighting over. They knew that he was not stable. And he didn't want to settle. But they kept trying to make him believe, just trying to keep doing all kind of tricks and things and trying to make, I'm going to try to make him, I'm going to try to make him, I'm going to try to make it happen. I mean, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy, and they already knew the score with him. So what I'm saying to women is that you can be sometimes as much as a manipulator in these relationships of players, and then you come and then you get in them these marriages with them, and you get in these long-term relationships with them, and you know they have never showed any kind of faithfulness to you. But then you mad because he done always showed you who he was, and he wondered, what are you talking about? Like, she was coming to him now, and within the marriage, you hear her talk later on, she's coming to him saying, why aren't you doing this, and why aren't you this and that? And he's looking at her like, you've been letting me play around for the last several years. Your actions show him who you were. You show him you don't care about him cheating. You show him that with your actions. Yeah, you were saying, I don't understand why you're playing, but you were still staying around. You were still sticking it out, still having babies. And I think what happens to a lot of women, I had this conversation, a lot of women, especially even in religion, and listen, I don't want people to just take that I am dissing. I'm trying to diss women. What I'm trying to say is women have to start taking responsibility. What happened is a lot of women will get into marriages. And this is just period, even with women with no children. And it's so easy to lose yourself into a marriage. And in some points, when you come into a marriage, both people are to lose themselves. You are evolving into something different. You have evolved into husband. You have evolved into wife, okay? And sometimes that evolution may take time, okay? You know what I'm saying? But you are, in some senses, you have added on to who you were before, and you're reshaping your person. But a lot of times women will, right away, they'll start having children and stuff, and they will lose their sense of self and motherhood, wifey, all kinds of things, but they will forget a piece of them of who they were. Forget who the guy liked ahead of time. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And marriages, listen, let me just say this, okay? And then some of y'all with people y'all shouldn't have been with in the first place, okay? I mean, I'm not against divorce. I'm not against divorce. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a horrible thing to happen. It's something you don't want to happen, but it's a lot of people that I understand marriage get through. They manipulate marriages. They manipulate situations. They come into it with the wrong ideas and the wrong situations. All kinds of things happen. So I'm not saying just stay, but I'm just saying a lot of women will get into relationships with people, and they have foregone themselves. And the thing is that the men have not foregone themselves. Like, a lot of the men have kept their sense of who they are, and they're looking across at you past the children and past the and past all the other things that are clouding your way, clouding the things that are crowding between you, and they will no longer see the person they fell in love with. They won't even see an evolution of that person. They see somebody who they don't even know. But yet they've kept their sense of self. So sometimes you will have men and sometimes it can happen with women too, but you'll have men who will go outside the relationship looking, it's like, that's not what I signed up for. What happened to, like, you know, what happened to the person I got with, or you know, what happened here? And I'm not saying you're responsible for somebody being disloyal, because you're not, okay? I'm just saying that failures of relationships start to become in little things. And some of it is forgetting about who you are as a woman. And see, a lot of women get so angry when they cheated on. A lot of these women, it'd be really angry. It'd be very anger, betrayal. A lot of people get angry, men too. Anger and betrayal once they're cheating, just to the point where they just lose it completely. And it's a lot of it isn't because they sad about the person cheating. A lot of it is because they've invested so much into the roles of mother and wife, and sometimes just mother. Sometimes they haven't even invested a lot in wife. Sometimes women will forget about the wife part and start investing in mother, right? And there'll be a sense of betrayal because you will see the man has kept himself, but you haven't. And you failed to take care of you. And now you mad because you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're going, wait a minute, who am I? So if you're looking at yourself in the mirror going, who am I, what you think he doing? And I'm not saying that or she's doing, okay? I'm not saying he's responsible, you're responsible for the cheating, but you do have to take some responsibility in the failure of a relationship. Cheating is just the symptom, okay? And in the case of Danae had saw all the signs ahead of time, but she kept trying to wrap herself in roles and lose herself. She was constantly losing herself to be with this man. To the point, he didn't even know probably who she was. Okay, because she showed him all kinds of people. She said she was looking at women. She knew women's body better than she knew her own. Who you think gonna enjoy some hot sex with somebody who don't know, who don't know their body? They know another chick's body. That ain't fun. No, I'm trying to be honest because a lot of times women don't want to take their responsibility. Yes, Derek is a cheating. He's a hoe out in these streets, okay? However, it ain't like Danae didn't know. And it ain't like Danae didn't work hard for that cheating ass man, okay? She worked her ass off for that. She worked her ass off for exactly what she got. She knew what she was going to get. She knew it. It was just she was hoping that it would change. And it did not. And now, ain't no reason to be mad at Derek. Derek was doing what he always did. And that's why I want to say to you women out here who've been listening, and y'all ready to bash Derek and say, oh, she's so pleasant, she's so nice. That same pleasant, nice girl, I like Danae myself, but the same pleasant, nice girl, she used a lot of manipulation tactics, even though she knew he was up here playing them fields, and to me, she got pregnant twice before they was married, I think it was twice. And she knew he was playing around with other women. He couldn't make a choice. And she said to his mama, well, I ain't going to wait another 7 years for him if he don't get it together. That's all manipulation tactics. All the tactics to get this dude who did on you what you knew was going to happen. She showed him no difference in her actions, and he showed her no difference in his actions. To me, this marriage was just a failure. I blame Derek 75%, but I blame her about, no, I'm giving Derek too much. I blame her, Derek, about 65%, but I give her 35% because she knew the hell about what she was getting. I'm really being gracious here because I really want to say it's 45, 55. Is that right? 55, 45? Am I counting that right? Yeah, I want to give her because I might even want to give her 55 because she knew. She went in there in delusion. He didn't. He went in there exactly. He might have been saying, baby, I'm going to change. But his actions never said he was going to change. And when you find yourself wrapped up with a man, you had 3 or 4 kids, and you know he been playing since before y'all got married and during the marriage and all this stuff, and you sitting there, he's just doing me wrong. No, he ain't. He doing what he been doing. You doing yourself wrong. So going back to what Laura London said something that I just love. And I want to say this because I think women will find him, and I know it's hard. It's hard to get to a point of where you get out of ego. It's so hard. I was listening to somebody today. One of my favorite astrologers, The Quietest Revolution, she come, and I forget her real name, but I love her. I listened to her like she was having Scorpio, and she was talking about how Scorpio, sometimes we don't reckon, we can love so deeply that we love so deeply whatever it is we have passion for, whether it's relationships or careers, and sometimes we'll love it so deeply that we won't have any consideration for it but our love. I was like, oh! I mean, it hit hard. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa! Oh, that hurt. It hurt. I mean, it was like, because, you know, she's like, you won't have any consideration for what that thing you love needs or wants from you or values from you. You'll just keep trying to overly make it happen or overly seduce it or overly love on it. You know what I'm saying? Or overly this and that. Just like, you know, feel this love. But only thing that matters is your love, and you don't have love. You have love without consideration, and that turns into something else. And I was like, dang, that's deep. Like, when I look at the relationship between Denai and Derek, I understand they were both young. Derek had a womanizing problem, but I also see Denai as a person who has such deep love and desire and everything for him, which we do in our 20s. We do dumb stuff, okay, up to our late 20s or something like that, sometimes the early 30s, that she, and this is, a lot of women are going to get upset with me when they hear this. And the same thing for him, because to me he was only considering himself, but he showed that that's all he was about. He was all about self. He never showed her anything different. But so was she, because she only wanted her desire. She would do anything to get that man, any fucking thing. It didn't matter he was playing. It didn't matter what he was doing out here. She just wanted him to make herself feel good. Like she said, I won the prize. I got him. I got all the girls. I was wanting them. I got him. Okay? I heard so much in that interview. There's so much to unpack, but I heard more lessons for women than I did for players. Players are who they are. But I heard more lessons for women. If women came out of these relationships and said, okay, I understand he did some real foul-ish, but let me look at me. Okay, it's time to look at me. Time to look at myself. Time to look at what did I do. And what I mean is, was she considerate enough to say, hey, I know I want him. I know I love him. Man, I got it bad, okay? And my love is, I'm chasing it so deeply. But am I considering what's best for him? What does he need? You know what I'm saying? What is he right now, he don't know what he want. And real love is, I need to back my act, because I'm the one with my, I'm the one that got my head, supposed to have my head intact. I might need to back my ass up off of him because he's playing right now. He don't know what he wants. And I need to give him time to figure it out. I done put myself out there. He know what he's dealing with. He know what kind of chick I am. He know what kind of woman I am. I got my faults. I got my ish, but he know who I am, okay? It's already been presented to him. Let me back up. But did she do that? No. She kept chasing and chasing and chasing. Girls, I'm going somewhere with this. Please, this is a lesson, women. Don't get mad. Listen. She kept chasing and chasing and chasing, and she finally got what she wanted. And it had, and wasn't nothing about it changed or nothing. I mean, that to me, she was partly a little bit selfish in that. So it brings me to Laura London, where she said, let me see if I can find it, when she had an interview with Angie Martinez. And I love what she said. Let me see if I can pull up the right one, okay? Let me see.
A lot of times, not all the time, we are in such of a, in our ego that we are in possession of another person. We're not experiencing them. We're not totally loving them and letting them be free. We think we're supposed to be together forever. It's not a spiritual relationship. Spiritual relationship is without the ego. It is we are together. I bring you up, inspire you, you inspire me. Now, if there ever comes a point where I'm not inspired anymore and that now I'm in my ego, now I feel I need to possess you, now I feel the need to control you and you're mine, I'm in my ego. A lot of times, not all the time, we are in such...
Okay, I love that, what she said. And listen, I'm not saying that commitment is not real. Commitment is a real thing and it should be honored, okay? And sometimes commitments fall apart for various reasons. Infidelity happens for various reasons. Okay, all infidelity and cheating and stuff ain't the same. Okay, I hate to say that, even though it's cheating, it's all betrayal, it's all bad, it's all adultery. I want y'all to write me, but I'm just saying it all happens. There are different scenarios to every situation. Okay. In the case of Derek and Danae, I feel like it was so much ego ahead of this relationship. There was so much possession. There was so much what I want, what I desire, what I need. And a lot of times, a lot of women, we go into relationships with people we know. Okay, we be knowing. Like I said, I'm a Scorpio. I used to love that. So as a Scorpio, I love to dance with the devil. Oh, I'm not gonna lie. Back in the day, cause you know we the underworld. We be like, hey, let's take a shot. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, we like edge. We like edgy and stuff like that. We crazy like that when we ain't Phoenix. Okay, we be like, okay, I see. You know, I know he on that demon time, but you know, maybe we can try a little demon time. I see the horns coming out, but you know, there's a pitchfork too. Oh, but you know what? He's an angel. He's really, look at those angel eyes. Oh, there's the black wings. Who cares about those black wag wigs? Power to the people, right? You know, you try to make every excuse because you want your desire. And so what I would say the lesson from Danae Jackson is that, ladies, sometimes a man is telling you what the hell he is. He don't know what he wants. He ain't sure where he at. He ain't sure. Even sometimes in marriages, somebody's telling you they ain't sure. I ain't sure. They, you know, they like, I don't know where the hell I'm at, and everything like that. Sometimes you need to give your spouse a break. You need to say, hey, all right, okay, you know what? They don't know where they at right now. Maybe we need to separate for a minute. Maybe we need to so they can figure out where they need to be. It ain't always easy. Marriage is different, okay? Marriage is very different because it's paperwork. It's all kind of stuff going on. It's kids. It's bills. It's all kind of stuff. But sometimes in the course of marriage, people go through that too, okay? So, but it's different. Marriage is a whole different story. It's a whole different space. You might get somebody in space within, you know, the context of, you know, separation or in a house separate. You know what I'm saying. It's very different. Marriages is different, okay? But for people out here, before you get married, and you got people, and you got somebody telling you, I don't know who the hell I am. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm out here. I'm confused. It is not for you to keep going after your desire. It's not up to you to keep going after the thing you think you want and you need. In spite of your love should not forego their consideration, the consideration of what they need. Otherwise, you're being selfish. Denai was being selfish, and she got what she got. And so was Derek. But Derek showed that he was selfish from the get-go. Denai was trying to see. Yeah, a lot of women, you will disguise your stuff. You'd be like, see, I'm a good woman out here. I'm trying my best. I'll be trying. I'll be good. I'll be cooking for him. I'll be cleaning. I come over there and do what the other girls want. I'll be doing this and that. And the key word is other girls. You think you doing what you want. You want him so bad, you not seeing, hey, wait a minute. It's something I ain't giving that he don't want. Well, let me tell you something. The Quiet Revolution said that today. What's her name? I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all need to go to her YouTube. She's a great astrologist, and she does astrology and tarot cards. Let me see. More tarot card, I believe, but pull it up. I can pull it up so y'all can. I really like her. One of my favorite astrologists to listen to. But she's the quietest revolution. Okay. Let's see what she.
Right now, and the reason nothing is moving right now is because you've got to come to a realization and make a decision. About whether or not you truly believe that the things that you want are good for you or not. Because you have this ability to, like, play in this, like, liminal space where you know something's really bad for you, but you still want it in an extreme way, and you're able to kind of talk yourself into it and be like, no, it's, I can do it, I can handle it, and make a decision.
Okay, I'm trying to let y'all hear a little bit of her. She's, hold on, let me see if I can pull it up.
Now it's hard to go in and say, oh, well, I'd rather tinker with this a little. I wish this wasn't like this. And, you know, it would be so much more convenient if you were more like this. If you do it now, consciously, you know, once you realize and you're cognizant of the effect that you may be having on them, well, that's brutal. And you won't do it. Even if you start to do it, you'll just naturally be like, oh, I don't want to do that. So we take the blame, the pressure, the shame, and the desire off of others. Why? Because nothing is moving right now. And the reason nothing is moving right now is because you've got to come to a realization and make a decision about whether or not you truly believe that the things that you want are good for you or not. Because you.
And see, I just want y'all to hear a little bit of her. She's so good. You have to listen to her. Her name is The Quietest Revolution. But and she's beautiful too. But one of the things is that she was saying is that she was, you know, she's talking about Scorpios this month, and she was saying, you know, how Scorpio we had to come to even in careers, love, and everything is whether we'll know something is bad for us, but yet we'll still want it because of our desire, or we'll know that maybe something's not right or something like that. And she's saying, hey, check your desire, your ego, check the thing that you think you want the most or you want so bad at the door, and focus on why you're wanting that thing. Focus on where the pain is at, what's causing you to want that so bad that you forego even yourself, like, you know what I'm saying, and you forego their consideration. And that's what a lot of times women, we do. And that is so dang on hard. And I'm just talking to fellas, do it too, But women do it more than anybody else. And then when they become the victim, when they're victimized in the situation, then they come out of these relationships and they stay in a victim mode and they don't focus on their self. They don't focus and say, what did I do wrong? Because women be like, so what you mean what I did wrong? I ain't the reason my man cheated. I ain't the reason blah, blah, blah. What you mean what I do wrong? Women are not responsible for men to be cheating. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that cheating is a symptom of a failed relationship. Failed relationships happen when both parties are failing. Somebody may shoulder more of the blame, but somebody or the other, it's always two people. So the question I say to women who, if you've been in a relationship like Danai, where you came out and you was getting cheated on, and all kind of stuff was happening, bad things was happening, I say to you, first of all, nobody's a possession. Nobody, you don't own nobody and everything like that. You understand, hey, this life, it wasn't the way I wanted it to go. It didn't work out or whatever like that. However, what could I do the next time so that I can ensure that I don't end up in these type of situations? Where did I fail myself at? Not where did they fail me. Where did I fail myself at? Because when I heard this interview, it's so much to unpack, but Danai was constantly failing herself. And I hear this from women time and time and time and time again, where they have constantly failed themselves. Because, not because they thought they was the better woman, or they thought this and that, and they thought this and this, because, simply because of ego, one. Secondly, your desire to have something outweighed the consideration for that other person. You didn't care how you got it, just as long as you got it. And then you were surprised that it started treating you like dirt when you shouldn't have been surprised, because it's been treating you like dirt all along, okay? So that's just what I wanted to say. That interview was very good. If y'all haven't heard it, y'all should go hear it. I thought it was excellent interview. I'm pretty sure, I wonder if she's going to write a book or something. She's very interesting to talk to. I love to see her in a different setting, talking to people and stuff like that too. But I do hope that there comes some realization, in my personal opinion, about, and I think she wasn't hiding that. I think in some senses, she was coming to a little bit of that conclusion, and she said there were some things I just didn't do right. But I also believe that a lot of times, so many women, and I saw it in the comment section, women were so quick, like, that's a good woman. They were trying to blame Derek. But I was like, why are y'all, I don't know if it was such a good woman. I saw a woman who was strategically going hard. I'm not saying that she didn't have good intentions, that she didn't love him. I believe she loved him dearly. I believe she loved him too much, where she could, like, she didn't have any consideration for him. And then that becomes something else, like possession, obsession, and all kind of other stuff. And it's like, hold on. Okay, how do I be considerate? What does he really need right now from me? Now, men going to keep taking the sex if you're going to keep giving it to him. They ain't going to say no. You know what I'm saying? You have to make the decision. And what do I need of myself? A lot of y'all married men right now, y'all saying, y'all know they dogs. Y'all know they absolute dogs. And y'all sitting up here blaming them for being a dog. When you knew he was a dog from the get-go, but you didn't even care. You just wanted to get in it any kind of way you can. Because you thought that somehow saying I do was going to magically change his ass, or having a baby is going to magically change his ass overnight. Nope, didn't change. Now, what responsibility are you going to take for putting yourself in this situation, for you dancing with the devil? Okay? For sure, where your responsibility at? I just want to know. Girl, he just out here, he out here playing and everything. Girl, or even some of you who are divorced and left the men because of that, and you still blame them for the relationship, and you don't see no fault, you don't have no fault in it. Nope. And you know he wasn't right to begin with. But yet you still kept chasing. Because we got a lot of that to be happening now, nowadays. And then we want to sit here and blame men for our failure to see clearly when somebody, when they're telling you and showing you who they are. All right. Now, when I come back, I'm going to hit on some of the topics I failed to talk about last year. But I wanted to get that straight. I just wanted women to take some responsibility. And this is not a bash women and celebrate Derek. And I want to say this again. Just because Derek did horrible things doesn't mean his advice wasn't good. Okay? No, because a lot of people are equating his advice with his lifestyle. Listen. You can go to church often on Sundays and hear a preacher talk and say some good words and stuff like this, and they be struggling with the very thing you're struggling with. They struggling with that very thing they talked about. Sometimes people just be trying to preach theyself up. You can have, like I said, your mom and them used to tell you, don't you go out, don't you smoke no cigarettes, and they have a cigarette hanging out their mouth. It wasn't bad advice. You shouldn't smoke. Smoking gives you cancer. And my little cousin, when she was a little baby, my mom used to smoke. My mom was outside smoking. And my little cousin came up to her. She's like six. She said, you smoke, you die. So it wasn't bad advice. That's just facts. Even if somebody grew up and started smoking or something, she was smoking. And you still facts. You smoke, you die. You smoke. Smoking causes cancer. Okay, but that doesn't mean Derek just can't apply. They ain't applying the stuff to his life. Sometimes people can give good advice, but they don't be so good on taking. I mean, I had that sometimes in my life. I can give people some great advice, and sometimes I'm struggling with some very stuff because I'm trying to figure it out. And sometimes I can say something to somebody, they're like, "Oh yeah, I get it." Ooh, and I be like, "Well, girl, I'm still trying to get it." You know what I'm saying, or something like that. So it doesn't mean people, if somebody say, hey, if a big person tell you, you know, somebody who plus size tell you, girl, quit eating them cupcakes, you're going to get fat. Okay? And you look at them and you know they fat. Don't mean their advice is bad. You do need to quit eating them cupcakes or you're going to get fat. You get what I'm saying? It's not wrong. And I'm not saying that sometimes Derek don't make some sense in some of his commentary he was saying, okay? He just wasn't a good husband. Partly because he lured her and she lured him into a bad relationship. They both were luring each other into crap. Him for his reputation, her for her desire and her need, okay? I said what I said, and I ain't going to change it, okay? Y'all don't like it, y'all don't like it. But it's facts. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. If you out here and you know a dude is a player, you know he ain't sure. And fellas, it's okay to be honest. Like, it's okay. Man, sometimes honesty is the best policy. Yeah, they'll still keep coming out of your ass, okay? Some women don't give up. Right? But honesty is the best policy when you sit down. Hey, this is where I'm at. Same thing with female players out here or female chicks out here who have, you know, going back. Sometimes, like, you know, you just got to say, I'm not sure where I'm at to a person who you date. And I understand, listen, sometimes all the way honest conversations, real relationship conversations are the hardest thing to have in the world because you sometimes don't want to hurt other people. It's always hard, okay, to tell other person, I'm not sure. And some of y'all need to figure out, y'all need to figure out how to have conversations, right? You need to learn interpersonal skills. You need to figure it out within yourself before you discuss it with another person. But the thing is to take the time to see what's inside of you before forcing something, and you be like, dang, you got a mess on your hands.
All right? So we going to go to break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to y'all about some of this stuff y'all that last week I forgot to talk about, and I'll be back in a moment. We're going to go listen to a little bit of LaToya Luckett, In the Name of Love. It's the CC Show. I'll be back in a moment, y'all.
Let your heart be for you.
how some of y'all be rolling out here. That is Just Be Good to Me, the SOS band. Oh, that song, it's so much. It's so, that's one of my jams, though. It's so much best for you in that song. I'd rather have a piece of you than to have nothing at all. Okay? Just be good to me. I don't care about the other chicks. You just better be good to me. Child, a mess, okay? All right, so we are back on the Carlotta Chadwick Show. I talked about Derek Denai Jackson interview and my thoughts on it and the responsibility I feel of women. So I hope you guys can have to check that out in the archive show. I do want to take a moment because, oh, my goodness, we lost Tina Turner this week. Oh, my goodness. Let me talk about Tina Turner. Man, I have been a big fan of Tina Turner's for a while. My favorite songs, I have like three, Private Dancer, Wildest Dreams, and Two People. Oh, my God. I don't have any Tina Turner up. I'll probably play some maybe Saturday. But my first time I took my mom to see Tina Turner, my first time seeing Tina Turner, I think I've seen Tina Turner twice, two or three times. Listen, I was like, she had to be in her 60s at that time. I ain't never seen nothing like that. Beyonce, all of them. Let me just say this, okay? All of them. I've seen everybody. I've seen a lot of people in concert, okay? Listen, this was a 60-something. And Beyonce, them, they get a lot from Tina, okay? And Tina, Janet, all them, okay? But this woman came out, and I saw her background dancers. I mean, it was fucking hard. Listen, I saw them little young girls leaning up against, you know, stuff when her break time, and she'd be coming out and she'd be talking, hey, everybody, and, you know, she was still moving it and dancing and everything. She wasn't tired. I was like, that background dancer was up there leaning up against something, tired and stuff, but Miss Tina, honey, was bopping and dancing harder and better than any of them people at 6-something years old and looked good. Legs was fire. Face was fire. She looked like she was in her 30s or 40s. She was looking good at 60-something years old. I say 40. She looked great. I'm telling you, I'd never seen that. Like, I said, what the hell is she doing? I remember my grandpa laughing, talking about, I know she was going back there rubbing down on how icy hot. That's it. I always use that joke. I was like, that's why I said, you know, I was saying about Maxwell when he was doing that, when he was doing the knee dance. I was like, man, he went down back there and put on some icy hot. But Tina, I don't care if she's putting on icy hot or what, you didn't see it on say, baby. Tina Turner came out and gave a show on top of show on top of show on top of show. That her young dancers and backgrounds couldn't even hang with. I was like, whoa. And we was up close, too. I was just like, oh, my God. I was just, the first time I was in awe. I could not believe. I was like, wow. I had never seen that much energy. 60-some years old. You young girls be ready to fall out 50. 51, I be saying, That's I always say, Tina Turner, you can't fall like a Tina Turner out here. I'm a 17 years old up here dancing. And could I dance her 40-year-old, 30-year-old, 20-some-year-old dancer? Y'all got me kidding. Man, I'll just say that one of the best female performers, if not probably the top of all time. But the one thing I will always remember about Tina Turner, and I've heard a lot of stories over the years about Tina Turner. I mean, even when we did, you guys know that one of my first interviews on the Carlotta Chatwood Show was from Diary of a Hollywood Street King, Jackie Jasper. Shout out to Jackie. Jackie gave me one of my first interviews, and I remember Jackie told me so much about the industry. And, you know, Jackie's the one who broke the story. A Diary of a Hollywood Street King, they be coming for your head right on there. But I remember he told me so much a lot about blogging and the industry and stuff like that. And he even spoke on Tina Turner, some things about Tina Turner. Because, you know, he won, I think he had won a Grammy with Ike or whatever. But one of the stories that I will always, that I can bring this up because very few people know the story, but it is fact, okay? I brought up the good, but I'm bringing up the bad, okay? I'm just going to say this. Look at Tina Turner, what Tina Turner did to Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson, Janet Jackson's book. The Jackson. I can't forget that story ever. I can never forget it. It was funny when I heard it, but I can never forget the story. Let me see if y'all can Google it, so I won't be telling y'all to Google it. I won't talk about it today. I'll talk about it Saturday, but y'all can look it up tonight, okay? Tina Turner and Randy Jackson of the Jackson. I ain't lying. It's a real story, and Randy Jackson confirmed the story. Tina wasn't no joke. He's had a lot out of these. Okay? Okay? It happened. According to Randy Jackson. I'm telling you, in 1988, Yeah, I got to look it up. I might talk about it on the show, Sarah. But, boy, I was like, what? Okay, that's OT. OT, some of y'all probably did not know. And they did not put her in jail, okay? Thank God he didn't, because we got to see the great, we got to see the greatness of Tina Turner, okay? Tina Turner was fire, okay? I've never seen that like that in concert, and I still have, okay? In terms of being that age and at that high of a level. I'm talking about high of a level in movement has Beyonce at almost 70-some years old. Not this Beyonce with the toe hurting and leaning up against stuff. I'm talking about the Beyonce, like, back in back the last two that she had before the On the Run. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she had the energy like that of Janet. Yeah. Like at their prime. Okay. At 60-some years old. That's unbelievable. No, I'm not. And listen, you can go get old Tina Turner concert footage and stuff. I ain't lying. You're going to see I ain't lying. I'm sure they're going to be having all kinds of documentaries. I haven't seen so many Tina Turner documentaries, but I'm sure they're going to have all kinds of documentaries and stuff of Tina Turner playing this week, and y'all will see Tina was the truth on stage, okay, in heels, like big old heels. Child, I be getting tired at concerts when I be walking in heels. I be like, oh, Lord, I don't even understand. Tina Turner was 60-something years old, coming down in steps, moving. I was like, child, what in the world's going on around here? I mean, look at here, what's she drinking? And eating. That's a bad girl. That's a bad girl. Rest in power, Miss Tina Turner. Bad girl. Okay, now let's talk about this week. Kim Kardashian says she cries herself to sleep some nights while raising her children as a single parent. There is nothing that can prepare you. And I want to read this to you because we've been having a lot of these celebrity girls out here trying to make y'all think it's easy and all that stuff. I'm having these babies without these daddy being married, these daddy being around, all this stuff, trying to make y'all think it's easy. But listen to Kim Kardashian, okay, who probably got nannies. This is from theinsider.com. She said, Kim Kardashian says she cries herself to sleep some nights after particularly stressful days as a single parent. Kardashian discussed the hardships of motherhood during an upcoming appearance on Jay Shetty's podcast. On Purpose with Jay Shetty, according to People, the outlet reported she discussed parenting the four children she shares with Yee, the artist formerly known as Kanye West, North 9, Saint 7, Chicago 5, Psalm 4. Kardashian told Shetty that parenting is the thing that has taught me the most about myself, according to the outlet. Okay, so let's see if we can listen to a little bit of this. I'm going to try to get this up for y'all. Okay, here we go.
Sometimes it's nights where it's just we are going hour by hour, to see if we're going to survive.
One of the most talked about women in the world.
Business mogul, lawyer in training.
She is the queen of reality TV, social media, and now with Netflix.
Okay. I'm trying, that was the wrong clip, so I'm trying to get y'all the right clip. But, let's see. Let me try the right one. Hold on, is this it? Let's see here. Okay, I'll read to y'all what she said because I can't find that right clip. But Kim said some pretty heavy stuff. And let's see. I thought it was pretty interesting. But she says, it has been the most challenging thing. She says, there are nights I cry myself to sleep. Like, holy shit, this fucking tornado in my house. Like, what just happened? Kardashian added, you know, with all the moods and the personalities, and sometimes they're fighting, and you know there's no one there. Like, it's just me to play good police officer and bad cop. The mother of four continued by telling Shetty she's working on being a little bit firmer, but acknowledged that parenting is really fucking hard. That's the only way I can describe it. It is the most rewarding job in the entire world. It is. There's nothing that can prepare you, Kardashian said. I don't care how long you wait. I don't care what you're waiting for. You are never prepared, but you will figure it out, and it will make you so proud of yourself that you figured it out, and you go through the day, okay? And she said, everyone says the days are long and the years are short, and that couldn't be, like, a more true statement, Kardashian told Shetty. So, like, when you're in it, I mean, especially when they're babies, you're feeding. There's madness going on. It's full madness. It's the best chaos, so. Okay, listen, I am telling you, she said, we're going hour by hour to see if we're going to survive night by night, Kardashian said. If a tantrum comes in, oh, my God, your life is completely upside down. But it teaches you so much more about yourself than I think anyone, any parent could have ever anticipated. And you know what? Listen, shout out to her because I think that is a very true. I know a lot of people are getting on her on Twitter talking about she has nannies. And that's true. She probably does have nannies, but she probably also wants to, nannies are there for help. They ain't there to be the parent. And there probably are times where she's just saying, hey, I'm trying to do it. It's four of them us, okay? And it's hard when you ain't got the nobody else there, you know what I'm saying? And you trying to do that on your own and with the nanny? She's saying it's hard with the nanny. Okay, so that's what I just want to say to you girls, because some of you girls be thinking it's having children is something deep. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I had my little cousin when she was a baby for a few months, summertime. I had her when she was a little baby, and me and my grandma was both taking child. Oh, I said, what in the world is going on? I put her to bed, and sometimes she'd wake up in the morning before me. Put her down on the bed, and I'd be like, okay. And she done finally went to sleep. And child, in the morning before I had to go to work, I feel something kicking me in my stomach. I'd be like, oh, Lord, what in the world? Then they'd be hitting me in the face. I said, oh, Jesus. I mean, and she'd be up looking at me like, eh. I'd be like, oh, Jesus. What the world is going on? Child, that was for a few months. I was like, oh, Lord. Crying. It couldn't eat. I was like, I know, child, that was an experience for 4 months for me. I can't imagine you doing that for years. Whoa. Okay, I'm telling you, ain't no joke. I have a new appreciation. I was like, hey, I got a new. And it was so funny because when I would call her the baby, first, you know, the first week or so, the mama.
Aunt Amy, I would call her up and something, but she could hear the baby. And I was like, after about a week, child, I didn't hear that no more. She barely called once a week. She's like, she was so happy to get a break. She was like, child, she was barely calling me. She's like, oh, I think she okay. I was like, no, you need to hear some of this screaming. You need to hear cookie. I'm like, diaper changing and stuff like that. Shoot, I got respect. Hey, listen, parenting process ain't no joke. I just experienced it about 4 to 6 months. Yeah, Lord have mercy. Shout out to the healthy, waking up in a minute, making sure they ain't breaking their schedule. I'm like, oh, Lord. What in the world? Somebody crying? You ain't crying. Wait a minute, it's 4 in the morning. I got to go. What in the world you doing? I mean, it's hard. It's not easy. Shout out to King, okay? And what did I tell y'all? My grandmother used to say, mama's baby, daddy's maybe. Why Kanye got his funky ass running around in the city with his new wife at different stuff. Here she is, even though she got nannies, up there crying, hearing the arguing, everything. He out there living life. What she needs to do, let me tell you what you need to do, Kim. So you need to bring some reality to him and that chick. I always say, bring some reality to the game. You should be like, you guys need to go visit your dad for 3 weeks, a month. You should just drop him off in the summertime. Bye, I'll see you guys later. Oh, this and dad have the toys, everything. Goodbye. Don't cut your phone off, girl. Run away. Only you can reach me through the nanny if you got an emergency. Bye. I had a relative, not one of the relatives, I had a good friend that I told this years ago. Her husband was giving her hell. He had left, you know, he left with another person, another woman. And the other woman, you know, she wasn't tripping, because she only saw him as a single man. She didn't see that he had three kids over there. And then he was getting mad because he didn't like the idea of child support. And so he's trying to fight her. And I said, you know, you need to go ahead and let him have them. Because she over there plate. They think it's live and in charge. You know what I'm saying? And because he was like, you know, you should be the man. You should be taking care of the boys and all that stuff. And finally she gave it to Ghost. Went ahead and said, all right, I'm going to let him take care of them kids. Child. That man was trying to get him boy back. Wait a minute. He was trying to get him back. And partly for a reason he's trying to get back, because a new woman wasn't used to having the kids. She was going on a trip with him, doing the life, and she ain't never have no time with the kids. Then he got a full-fledged family. She thought they were just going to be flossing and living their life. You know what I'm saying? You know, you might see kids an hour here and there. Take them to the park. Now, she let them go stay. And he was on the phone trying, you take these kids back. She like, nah. See, sometimes people got to fear the kids find out it's real. Okay? Kim, you need to take them over there. That's what they said. He ain't going to let nothing happen to him. Just like you got nannies and stuff, that's fake daddy. You need to take them over and say, it's your turn. Mama's baby, daddy's baby. Okay. Wow, that's wild, okay? So, yeah, so Kim, that was an interesting thing. A lot of y'all was upset with Kim, but listen, it is what it is. Let's talk about Gabrielle Union, because I talked about Gabrielle Union a little bit last week. Y'all wasn't understanding what I was saying. What Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade's 50-50 bill split says about black tax and financial trauma. This is a really good article from Forbes. I suggest you read it. This is Gabrielle Union sparked conversation on social media when a clip from an interview with the Ideal Generation podcast, and this is from Forbes.com, went viral. She went on to share that she and her husband, Dwayne Wade, split 50-50, which has been an ongoing discussion around dating and modern gender roles between couples. while social media fixated on whether or not it was necessary for the multimillionaire couple to split bills, nuance from the clip was lost in all the uproar around the incredible demands of things like the back tax, financial trauma, and money scripts. Union mentions that she and her husband have to support other households outside of their marriage, which puts pressure on her to get up and work constantly. She alludes to guilt or pressure that doesn't allow her to sleep in because of her worry that somebody might not eat. When considering the concept like the black tax, where successful black individuals support members of their immediate and extended family financially, some might feel through Union's revelation of her feelings, it's a poor attempt to relate to the less wealthy general public. It will seem, however, that more money people make, the more they have to give away in support of others from the outside looking in. And listen, black people, other people from other cultures, this happens so much within the black community. Because most of the black community, I know y'all see Jay-Z and Beyonce and all these figments of y'all imagination of TV celebrities who make it seem like the black community done blew up, like we flossing and everything. But actually, the black community is still the lowest on all the polls, poverty, and everything else. These people are an illusion that black wealth is happening in America, and it's simply not. So you have a lot of times when you have somebody in the family who's making just a little bit of money, you can have a lot of pressure on you financially to take care of people, to help people. It ain't got to be $1 million. It could be $100,000. It can be $50,000, okay? Right? You know, some people, hey, God, you know we ain't doing so well over here. You know, and black people, black American people, I mean, you know, especially in the 70s and the 80s and stuff like that, I mean, it's like it was like extended families everywhere. And sometimes you have relatives that was, you know, that need money and you need to go over there and take them something, their parents and stuff like that. So I can't imagine what it's like for millionaire status, people like Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade and stuff like that, okay? So I'm very aware of the black tax. Now, getting back to Gabrielle Union, though, okay, when I talk about hypergamy over here and I tell y'all to go listen to Chloe, I always have to make this disclaimer with people because people can't understand. Like, I may tell y'all to listen to some people on YouTube I like, but I don't agree with every subject they put up, okay? Everything they say, I believe that people can have a diversity of thought and everything, and you can still like them, okay? I like the Five on Fox. Do I always agree with them? Heck no. But I do like watching. See? Sometimes they say something make me think differently about something. Sometimes I don't. You know what I'm saying? I used to like Rachel, what's her name, Maddow on MSNBC. Did I like everything Rachel said? Hell no. But I can, some things I can give with. I like Keith Olbermann one time. I just, so this. What I am saying here is when I talk about Chloe and hypergamy, a lot of times black women specifically have not been taught to value the importance of healthy relationships and healthy, how can I say this, and trying to find. And it's hard in our community because we all struggle with different things. Hell, sometimes everybody have money struggles, all kind of stuff, okay? It's always real, okay? But it's hard for black women sometimes to accept people taking care of this. Men who want to financially be the breadwinner. That don't mean you just do nothing. You can help. There are a lot of ways women do things other than go make money. Women take care of children. Sometimes women take care of the household. Sometimes women are doing other things, running business. It can be a number of things, okay? Or maybe you just sit and get your nails styled looking pretty every day, whatever the fuck. If your husband allows you, then that's okay, okay? When I talk about hypergamy, I'm saying I'm okay with a man being the head of household and financially taking care of you. Now, I know black women, I'm not saying I saw this chick this week. Let me pull her up, okay, because I want to talk about this, okay, because some of y'all are sending me this chick, and I ain't talking about her, okay? But now she got a fool out there, some fools out here willing to do this. I ain't got nothing to say. That's her business, okay? But let me put this out here, okay? Wait a minute, if I can find it here, that y'all sent me. I got to put y'all know how to be slow, okay? Let's see. On here, I'm going to find them and I got to take that. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. Okay. Let me see it. All right, but this one woman was talking about something. I just said, okay, don't be, you know, sometimes you don't want to be ridiculous, okay? But okay, here she is, okay? This chick y'all sent, okay? I know her name. I don't know what show it was from, but I'm going to send, I'm going to switch on.
To provide. I'm not going to work 16 to 20 hours a day or a week to provide for my family. You're the man. You have the penis. Go get a job. Get 3 jobs. My man has 2 jobs. Go get 7 jobs and 2 side hustles to buy me the things that I want because I'm a woman. Man should always make a way. I feel like I'm not going to work my hands to the bones to provide. I'm not going to work 16 to 20 hours a day or a week to provide for my family. You're the man. You have the penis. Go get a job. Get 3 jobs. My man. Go get 7 jobs and 2 side.
Go get 7 jobs or 2 side hustles would, I mean, just okay. Listen. I understand some households where you may need to work, okay? Your woman may need to go out and work if she needs to. And there's a lot of, it depends on, and some women may agree to work and they may have got a lot of money. You know, or you can be going to school or you can be learning how to, you know, coming up with other ideas maybe that make you financial. I never think it should just be a woman. I mean, if you marry, listen, here's my thing. Okay, now, I'm going to say this, okay? I don't believe in nobody going to get 7 jobs so you can just sit up on your ass. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just crazy, okay? But what I will say is if you're married to a man who is very, very wealthy and he got it going on or whatever, then your job, let me tell you something, ladies, okay, to be with dudes who got it going on. No. I'm talking about the guy that going on. Like, I'm talking about Jeff Bezos. Okay? No, I'm talking about Jeff Bezos. Okay? There's a couple of things I would say you need to do. Okay? First of all, I don't think you should just be sitting up. You know, being Jeff Bezos' woman is a job in and of itself because you probably need to become culturally aware of different things because you're dealing with high-end, very wealthy people. So you may need to, you know what I'm saying, you may need to take some, what's some classes, what's some of y'all, not all of you, but they usually take, what is it, what are these classes called? Y'all know, what is it, some charm classes or whatever they used to have years ago, they still got them out here, model, like how learn how to walk better. You might need to keep your weight down, eat differently, because you're out in the public eye, you're moving with him, you're a piece. You know what I'm saying? You're not just his wife or his girlfriend, but you're a piece with him. So you that is a damn job, okay? No, that's a damn job, okay? And so to me, you owe it to Jeff to be, you know, making sure you eat right and, you know, you ain't got no bonbons. Because see, some of y'all, see, this is what happens. I'm going to tell you the truth because I know chicks who out here who do take on the masculine energy and they be looking child. They be looking like they're not only taking care of the kids and when they get home cooking dinner and doing all this stuff, but they be working 20 hours a day. I mean, it'd be messed up. It'd be messed up out in the street, okay? I'm just telling you the truth, okay? And I understand that sometimes that has to happen in relationships, okay? I understand that two people got to work, okay? I get that. I understand it. However, this chick, she has to look outside of, it's not a lot of black, I mean, you know, some black men in America, but it's not a lot of big choice of wealthy black males. So she may have to go, she's talking about she wants somebody working two jobs. And I, well, no, dear, what you want is a different type of lifestyle with a wealthy man, and your man should not be working two jobs. You need to let him know, basically, you care for him and you love him, but you need to let him be single so that he can afford things on his own, and you go look for that dude that you want. Okay, because you got this brother out here working two jobs. She's pretty. She got to work 3, 4, 5 times. That ain't in your bracket. So you need to probably be, you might need to do some more stuff to get yourself in the right bracket that you want, okay? If you dating a Jeff Bezos, though, that I want women to know. Or if you dating a celebrity man or whatever, that's a job. Hey, you got to go on a red carpet with his ass. I'll tell you, so that's a job. You got to look good. Okay? And, yeah, I understand those males is different. They making millions of dollars, not all the time. Sometimes they faking it. But a lot of times they making a lot of money, and they only require for you to get, hey, you got to, like Lori Harvey, remember Lori Harvey talking about that 1,800, what's she talking about, 1,400 calories? Some of y'all was like, what? But she was saying she work out in the gym twice a day and whatever. So she's professionally dating out there. She's dating, what's his name? She's Steve Harvey's daughter, and she's dating Idris, whatever. She was dating Michael B. Jordan, and she started dating the Idris boy, and she got to look good. Okay? Her job is entertainment and dating entertainers. Okay? So sometimes when you are the best one, your husband out there, you might be eating bonbons. I mean, not bonbons. You might be eating healthy bonbons and 100, maybe 50 calorie ones or some little diet ice cream or some diet bonbons and working out 2 days a week, I mean 2 hours, I mean 2 times a day, and getting your, keeping your hair fresh, your nails done, everything, because part of the thing, and maybe culturally becoming aware of, you know, reading, moving, because you are with a dude who has a different pedigree. You know what I'm saying? So that's a whole nother thing than a regular dude out in the streets working. Now, some dudes who work regular, nice jobs and stuff like that, they don't have, they wives don't work. Sometimes that is. You know what I'm saying? They going to school. They got a lot of other things going on, or they do something. And sometimes somebody's income can help cover 2 people for a minute or whatever while the person rests to take a moment out of the market and stuff like that. I know people like that and stuff like that. And that can happen. Okay. But. You have to understand what you want, ladies. If your man is having to get out here because you talking about, I ain't gonna be up here with, you know, something. Now, it's different when you married and maybe somebody fell from wealth or something. You may have to get out and help and work it out. And just, hey, it happens, okay? That's life. But if you have a certain thing that you set out for, and you with a dude, and he's saying, "Well, you want to go on the yacht, and you know my job only pays for this little piece of yacht." And you like, he going out to get 2 and 3 jobs, and you like a certain type of wine, and you like a certain type, you like what's the kind of clothes? You like Pradas and Louis and Birkins and all this stuff, and you know his ass ain't making but maybe 150 or 120 or something, and your ass is asking for Birkins. And you make him go get a second one. You got your tax bracket. And you need to say, you know what, I'm going to let you build up a little bit more. And you going to rework your stuff and go try to find you somebody or go to work to help. But don't be sitting up here making nobody go get 3 and 4. 5 and 10. Right. You need to find somebody you can afford. She can afford. She don't need to be making time. My man better work 7 jobs. I'm like, 7? 7? He got to work 7? And I talked about my own grandparents, and listen, like I said, my grandfather was the breadwinner. My grandfather was, but sometimes my grandfather was not the money person. He was not the money manager. My grandmother was. And he was a final decision person. But one of the things I will say that I remember once my grandfather, I was very young. And this is a story I'm telling y'all, but my grandfather, this is just a kind of, they was great. That generation is different. Them 1930s people, it's a whole nother, they different from everybody. You know, they wild. But them after Depression, Great Depression babies, wow. You know what I'm saying? So my grandfather, I remember once him getting, he worked for this prominent, this construction company for years, okay? And I remember him once getting laid off. And all he found out from some of his job people that all the this is in the 70s, right? Like maybe late 70s, and or like 1978, 79, because I was young, and I can still remember this. And he found out all the whites were working doing some form of work, and so my grandfather, he was different, right? And so my grandfather gets off the phone, and so my grandfather gets dressed. I get put on his way because my grandma's like, what are you doing? I thought you're going to be laid off from me. You're going to have to file, you know, the unemployment and everything, and, you know, stuff like this or whatever. And my grandfather goes, he said, get dressed, get the baby. He said, y'all drop me off down here at work. And my grandma's like, what, you got laid off? He said, drop me off at work. So he pulls up to the thing, and I remember the doors were open in this, and you see all these males in this, like a lot of white guys in there, and they were working. And I remember my grandfather, I remember my grandma saying, oh, my grandma in the car, like, oh, Lord, he's so crazy or whatever. And you can hear my grandfather go in there, and the man's like, Levi, what you doing here? And my grandfather starts working, picking up stuff. He tells us to stay there for a minute. So we sitting there watching this. We sitting in the car. We can hear because our windows are down. And he said, hell, my family got to eat just like yours. It was different. Okay, I never saw my grandpa. Probably, I mean, he had the ties with construction. You know, the ties where they be off, but not a layoff, like layoff. You know what I'm saying? Like they have days, sometimes a week off or here and there, because they waiting in between jobs or whatever. But he worked big construction, like for concrete and railroad. I remember my grandma just grow like, and he coming back out. I'm like, y'all going home. I'll see y'all later. Come back at time when time you meet. I will never forget. He put himself back to work. And I remember we got home. My grandma said, you going to have to fight. He said, yeah, I ain't doing it. He said, I'm going back to work more. That was hilarious. But that's the type. They was different. They come through, you're talking about these people come through the harsh racism. He was born in Mississippi, you know what I'm saying, where they Mississippi, they was doing all kind of wild stuff, hardcore. So they come from the hardcore South and stuff like that. So they, you know, and there was a different energy and a different type of masculinity compared to, I would even say, baby boomers and X. It's just a different time frame. So those type of men would get out there and work, you know, a couple of jobs or a job or two to support their family. But it was also a very different type of women at that time, too. And for us, you know, we was getting black tax, too. And we were... And we wouldn't, you know, have a whole lot of money. But people perceived certain family and stuff perceived them to have a lot. So they would sometimes be helping people and all that stuff. So that is a lot of weight. But my grandmother, you know, she would only go get little jobs or little things she wanted if she felt like it was getting tight or a little something like that. She'd get something for herself, you know, little stuff like that. Her stuff, most of the time, I remember just being fun job. But I didn't realize how much they were just really making it with. You know what I'm saying? How much, because we always lived really nice. Probably they were probably living a little bit beyond their thing. You know what I'm saying? But I remember that type of energy from a male. So there was never any question who the male was in the house. But also, he respected my grandmother because at the time, my grandmother was not only just taking care of her, our household, she's also taking care of a grandbaby, you know, who she's been having since she came from the hospital. Like, I came from the hospital, right? They took me out. They had me with them when they came out of the hospital, right? Yeah, and even though my mom stayed for a minute, but my grandparents were mostly the caregivers. You know, they were caregivers from the get-go. And so she has this kid she's taking care of, and she has her own parents. So she's taking also care of her parents who are getting older and sick and stuff like that. So very different vibes. So she didn't, you know, a lot of times my grandfather would take on that, a lot of that heavy lifting, okay, of that. You know what I'm saying? So, I do understand some, when I say hypergamy, that sometimes males, you know, men want to be men. Men want to run their house. I mean, not run their households where they don't have any, not ignoring you and your needs and everything, but they like to be the protector and the provider and everything. But that doesn't mean that you can't help sometimes if you need to, or or you can't have your own money and your own job. What I said is, it's crazy for Gabrielle Union to be sounding out here like, I'm sure, sometimes I'm scared to wake up in the morning because I'm like, girl, you got to get to work. I'm scared to sleep in because I know I got to work. When your man sitting over there with $200 million, I said it, $200 million. I ain't going to be worried with $200 million. My money is just going to be fun money. Okay, I'm be worried. If I'm worried with $200 million, Dwayne, we live in too, it's too high. We take care of too many households, okay? It's too high. Hey, them kids is almost grown over there with Dwayne Wade. That child support is almost, he ain't got no child support because he had the kids. And they, that one is old, and that other one is almost grown out here. And the side baby might got a few more years, but child, 200, and he ain't putting no, and y'all got that other little one y'all done had. Child, ain't nobody should be out here struggling with no $200 million, child. Ain't nobody should be struggling. Gabrielle Union, okay? I said what I said, and I meant every part of it, okay? Gabrielle Union should not be struggling when Dwayne Wade got $200 million. Huh? That's why I said, if you're going with Dwayne Wade, actually should be just fun. You mean Jeff Bezos tonight? Jeff Bezos talking about, we're going to split this 50-50. I'm like, Jeff, I can't split with you another 50-50. Ain't nothing. I can't even afford your 50-50. You got a big life there. What's this going to do? Jeff Bezos is not going to be expecting you to split no 50-50. Okay? He's going to be like, child, keep your little checks. That's cute. Oh, look at that little check. That's what Jeff's going to look at Gabrielle Union's if he was saying Gabrielle Union. Oh, that's so cute. Put it in your savings. Oh, that's cute. That look like Jeff, she Gabrielle Union. Jeff, you split. You going to split this 50-50. Jeff's going to be like, child, you can't split. Child, you can't handle my bills, okay? You can't handle Dwayne Wade's bills, Gabrielle Union. Well, I'm taking care of my family and stuff like that. Girl, bye, okay? You should be, yeah, you can give a little bit to your family, but it should be relaxed. Your stuff should be taken care of. There shouldn't be no 50-50 of that household. Yeah, Dwayne Wade should be like, I got this, and I got my people. If you need to take care of somebody over there, that's okay. If you got a problem, I'll come in and help you. You shouldn't be on there talking about, I'm scared of, oh, Lord, if I don't go to get no job, you better work, girl. I'm like, you better work? With $200 million? Like, I understand money keeps going, and it depends on how big your lifestyle is and stuff like that. But it shouldn't be that big. Okay, well, I'm jerking about my thinking, oh, Lord. Because compared, they say her net worth is about 20 to 30 million, or some people saying that, and compared to his 200 million. How you going to split the bill? Girl, you going to go broke fast, okay? Because I know Dwayne got a big old life there. Okay, come on, man. Don't be doing it. Next, Jackson Mahone was arrested on May the 3rd after a restaurant owner alleged that he grabbed her forcibly and kissed her at a Kansas establishment. This is from MSN.com. It's talking about Chief Patrick Mahomes breaks silence on brother Jackson's arrest. It says Kansas City superstar quarterback Patrick Mahomes broke his silence on the incident on Wednesday. It's kind of a personal thing that I'm going to keep to myself, Mahomes told reporters in his first meeting with the media since his brother was hit with three aggravated sexual battery charges, according to TMZ Sports. At the end of the day, I come here to play football, and I try to take same time. So just kind of keep it to myself. So I just kind of keep it to myself and go out there and play football when I'm in the building. The 27-year-old was asked afterwards if he would balance the arrest with his football career afterwards, and he continued to preach his commitment to both situations. The 27-year-old was asked afterwards how he would balance the arrest with his football career afterwards, and he continued to preach his commitment to both situations. It's your family, Mahomes says, but you have to come in here and do a job, and that's what I try to do every day. The arrest allegedly stemmed from an encounter between Jackson Mahomes and a woman sometime in February. He also was accused of shoving a male member of the woman's wait staff earlier in the evening, per TMZ. Based on Wednesday's media session, it's clear Patrick is not comfortable speaking on the matter publicly and stressed that he wants to keep his feelings on the matter private and separate from his football career, okay? Let me just say this. Patrick Mahomes has had a time to have with that family. But allegedly, meant mama was – the only one that ain't asked out is his dad. He got a family like Meghan Markle. The white side is acting up. It was the mama acting up. It was his wife acting up. And his half-white brother, Chad, and the button. Daddy's the only one they say no actor. You don't hear nothing about. Except for the smoking on burros, you know, when he won the thing. But listen, in Kansas City, they have had something to say about Britney, Patrick's brother, and his mama. Okay, it's been a mess. I mean, Patrick's been dealing with a lot. He finally got his mama and his wife to calm down. Now the brother is still out here just acting a fool, okay? Now, okay, I respect Patrick Mahomes for keeping it quiet. You know, that's your family. You're like, oh, man, this fool. You don't want to say, this is a fool I got out here with this brother. I done got a fool for a brother. You don't want to say that because you're trying to help him and stuff like that. But in case somebody know Patrick Mahomes, give him a little piece of advice. If your brother continue to act a fool out in these streets, like they say allegedly he's been out here acting a fool, you might have to cut him off. I just be telling people, okay? Because, listen, sometimes family can be the worst. And they think you owe them something because they your family. Now, I'm not of that idea. I don't believe that whatsoever. It's just damn, okay? If you acting a fool and you's a fool and you crazy and you mean and you rude and you don't have no respect for me, and my situation, you ain't got to have no respect for you. And blood ain't that thick to me, especially if it ain't important to you. So if you have a brother that's constantly a relative that's constantly putting you in the ish, and you have to constantly put yourself running out there, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to pay for his lawyer fees. Oh, I'm going to have to pay for this food. I say, you got one more time, folks. You got one more time. I'm going to leave you out. You're going to be out in these streets. You're going to have to be selling stories about me. You ain't going to be able to come back over my house. And security guards meet you at the door. Why you got to do this for family? Because sometimes family hates you more than the average person. They do. They hate your career. I'm not saying this is a situation with Patrick Mahomes' brother. I'm just saying that sometimes family is the most jealous, the most hateful, the most angry, and can quickly take you out. They can hurt you, everything. Remember the story of Roger Trotman. I never heard the story of Roger Trotman. Second time. Roger Trotman's brother. Let's see if you can look it up here. That's why I just want to say. This is Patrick Mahomes. But I'm saying this is what people can learn, okay? Funk Innovator from Hamilton till, till 22 years ago in one of the region's most shocking murders, okay? It's been 22 years, and this is from Dayton.com, and this was written, in 2021. It's been 22 years, so it's now been 24, since Roger Troutman, one of Dayton's most gifted and well-known musicians, tragically died. Troutman, an R&B recording artist who pioneered the famed funky Dayton sound, was shot several times in the alley behind his music studio on Salem Avenue, April 25th, 1999. He died at Good Samaritan Hospital. The gunman, the musician's older brother, Larry, was later found dead of self-inflicted gunshots in the driver's seat of a black Lincoln on Harvard Boulevard. The shocking incident stunned music lovers around the world. Troutman and his family, originally from Hamilton, had formed the Zap Band in 1978, propelling millions to the dance floor with hits like Morse Bounce to the Ounce, I Can Make You Dance to Computer Love. Okay? In 1988, interview with Dayton Daily News, Roger Troutman recalled his start in the music business and the lessons his father, Rufus, taught him. Let me see. Roger recalled his father told him, I did that so you would understand instruments are merely a vehicle to express what's inside of you. If you had just picked up one instrument, it would have limited you. Oh, I love that. He's saying the instruments, various instruments. Let me read that whole thing. This is something I'm reading. This is fascinating. He said, as a 13-year-old, Troutman was a budding musician, setting up gigs at sock hops and community function. He asked his father for a guitar, but was told he had to learn to play one first. He did, learning his father's favorite song. Rufus Troutman made the same request whenever his son asked for another instrument. Troutman recalled his father later told him, I did that so that you would understand that instruments are merely a vehicle to express what's inside of you. Wow. If you had just picked up one instrument, it would have limited you. It says, let me go down here. Explore. Okay, so I'm trying to find. Let's see. Okay. Let me see this. Okay. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I always thought this was a strange incident, okay? Some people don't think that, you know, I don't know. Some people thought it was a strange, interesting incident because he was found down the street from Roger. I'm trying to find, because I want to talk about, because I'm talking about this for, okay. Well, a lot of people thought that Roger Troutman's brother had, he was, at one time he was manager, I think, or something like that. Some people thought he was upset about money. And that, there may have been a lot of, anger, jealousy going on in the relationship. Larry and his brother, Roger died under mysterious and violent circumstances. Evidence suggested that for the reasons not well understood, Larry Troutman killed Roger, then killed himself a few blocks away. Now, some people still don't believe, there are a lot of people who didn't believe that maybe that happened or whatever, but people said there was a lot of situations going on in their relationship. The only thing I found strange about the story about Roger Troutman and Larry Troutman was that he drove down the street, because I'm like, why didn't he just do it right then? But, you know, I don't know. But the story is that he killed himself. He killed his brother, and then he killed himself, and they had allegedly a contentious relationship. The reason why I'm bringing up this old story is because sometimes you got to realize if you got somebody crazy and you can't keep them in your life because they're your brother, your sister, your cousin, your mama, your auntie, your, whoever. Okay? Sometimes you got to let crazy people go and go. You done tried to give them what they need. You done tried to help them. I don't care if they family. They family. I say they don't act like family. probably tell my family. I'm like, they don't act like my grandma and me. Say family, Daddy, you shouldn't do it. I'm like, they don't act like family, and if you don't act like family, you don't get treated like family up in here, not in my world, okay? Because I understand what happened to people when they when you treated people less than with less respect. And so I'm hoping for Patrick Mahomes' sake that he gets some wisdom, because if his brother is out here acting a fool and he keep doing incidents allegedly, that means he ain't got no respect for you, and he ain't got no respect for your family, and he ain't got no respect for you trying to make money and supply for your family, and you got to remove him from your life. That's just facts. You know, you just got to let that go. You can't be up here hanging with the enemy. And the enemy can be your cousin. The enemy can be your auntie. The enemy can be your own mama. Okay? You can't let nobody be disrespectful to you up here trying to work real hard. You practicing, Patrick Mahomes is up here practicing football right now at these camps and stuff away from his family and his wife and his kid, and he's out here running up and down the thing, and then he got to go in the fall and run up and down the field and risk breaking his neck and all kind of stuff. Why he up here want to play around and go out and do all kind of crazy shit and keep getting in trouble while you working hard and mess up his reputation. He ain't got no respect for the work he put in. And when that happens, send his ass back. Allegedly, with all that stuff that happens. Send his ass packing. Packing, packing, packing. You sitting up here acting a fool. Patrick's out here working hard, running up and down football field, and here you is. Hey, I'm out here going to party. I mean, that's my brother. Hey, I'm out here. I don't care what's going on. This is just ridiculous. That really is. Just thought I'd read that list. That's for y'all, too. Anybody going through that, remember, family ain't the end all to be all. I always say that all the time. Okay, Red Fever's in Kansas City on a hospital roof. What in the world is going on around here? Why was Red Fever in Kansas City? What in the world is going on? What is Red Fever? This is according to MonsterSnitch.com. Last night, B2K singer Raz B's brother announced that Raz was in police custody on a 72-hour hold in Kansas City after Raz went live telling his fans he didn't feel safe. Now Raz has been spotted on the roof of a Kansas City hospital trying to escape. Let me look at this here. He sure is up here. He's about to jump. What's he doing? I know that building. Wow, that's Western Missouri. That's a Cray Cray house. They have Rassi and the Cray Cray house full. Oh, you see him up there? He's trying to Lord Jesus. According to reports, Raz broke a window that's St. Louis. I thought that was Western Missouri at St. Louis Hospital and climbed onto the roof. Okay, excuse us for a minute. That's St. Louis. Okay, I'm going to see the old side. Onto the roof. He eventually came back inside after the fire department and police arrived. What is he doing in Kansas City? This is according to RhymesAndSnitch.com. Why is he in Kansas City? That's a mental ward. Allegedly. I don't know. I'm just saying that might be what's going on. Okay? I don't know. Interesting. Did Jonathan and Megan Good was at the Red Lobster? They said, Jonathan and Megan Good was at the Red Lobster this week. This rhymes with Snitch.com, TMZ. Jonathan Majors and his new boo, Megan Good, kept things low-key on their latest date, quietly slipping in and out of Red Lobster with some of her family for some grub. The Creed 3 and Harlem stars were spotted at the seafood chain Tuesday in Woodland Hills, spending 3 hours with Megan's mom and her sister while they chatted and went to town on some seafood. Johnson got flowers for Megan, her mama, and her sister. Unclear if it was first time meeting the fam, but we're sure he got some bonus points for a classy move. It looks like Johnson and Megan are showing more signs of the romance of the dick, and meeting the fam is a huge step. Girl, making good, girl, this man just a few weeks ago was less than a month and a half. Okay, I know this. It was less than a month, less than 2 months. He was up here fighting with the white girl, okay? Say allegedly was his preference out here. Fighting with the white girl because she grabbed his phone and it was some other chicks on. It was another chick he saw on the phone. I don't know if that was you. Was that you? And they allegedly got to arguing about it, okay? Allegedly. That's what allegedly happened. And he allegedly put hands, and then there's allegedly other people coming out of the street on him. And you, Megan Good, decide you want to go out with. You decide you want him to be your man. I mean, I don't know if he's your, he might be a good friend of yours. Maybe he's an old friend of the family or something. People, you just ain't answering about it or whatever. But people say you's out here dating a man who's been accused of domestic violence. Now, I'm going to just say this, Megan, okay? Because if it's true that you're dating this man, okay? If it's true that you're dating this man, right, and instead of letting him let your coochie calm down until after he goes to court and you make sure that he's innocent, instead of and making sure he goes through his thing, and you really are dating him, and you get in a relationship with him, and 3 years down the line, I bet not him, or a year down the line, or 6 months down the line, you come out with no domestic violence story. You bet. He hit me in the face. I'm going to just keep. You know what I'm going to do? You remember on New Jack City? When on the movie New Jack City, when the old man comes to kill Nino Brown, and he said, "Today your souls will fire to him." He shoots the drug dealer, and the drug dealer falls out, and Ice-T and the investigator both look up at him, and he starts falling down. And they just put on their shades like they ain't seen nothing. That's what I'm gonna do, Megan Good, if she get her ass beat by Jonathan Majors. I mean, what's his name? What's the boy's name? Jonathan Major. She come out with some domestic violence. Right? I'm just cooling down, like I don't even hear nothing. This is just stupid making good. Okay, I don't know if he's a woman, but he might be very innocent. Okay, he might be innocent. But let the man go through whatever he got to go through. You up here trying to play? What's she trying to play? Captain Saberhawk. Captain Saber bro, Captain Saber hoe, Saber abuser, I don't know. But you is not smart, looking smart right now. Now, I'm willing to give you a benefit because maybe he your play brother or something out here. Maybe he your good friend and you just trying to stand by him. Ain't nothing going on with y'all. But, girl, did you hear other people coming out? You better check your ish. I remember I had a friend tell me one time, she told me this story about something this dude she heard, you know, she was dating, and she said, "Girl, yeah, you know, people saying, you know, he did this and all this stuff." You better check it out. Don't be sitting up there just dating him. You better find out if it's true. You better start asking questions, making good. But he hit you upside your head. Hopefully he ain't no, I'm not saying he's abusive because he's innocent until proven guilty. But just in case he ain't. And abusers, let me tell you something. Abusers can wait your ass out. They can wait it out. Sometimes abusers are very controlled when they are going after their next victim. And they usually go for people who slow, because people that slow don't catch it. He got a little possessive the other night when such and such called me. And then, you know, well, he may have called me 20 times the other day when I told him I was busy, but he kept calling and calling. But, you know, I guess he missed me. slow. You pick slow people. And then the next thing you know, you flying across the floor. Because he done got mad because you done came home late or something. Okay. He like, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't believe those things. He always was so charming. He never showed me any signs. So calling your phone 20 times after you told him you was busy, ain't no sign. Being jealous and all mad at every dude to come up, ain't no sign. I'm not saying that's what he's doing. I'm just saying. They kick slow ones. Some of y'all be knowing y'all slow out here. I'm just hoping Megan is not slow. But I looked at her trust. She might be. Okay. Megan might be slow. I see it when I see it. I hope she's not slow, but she might be. Okay. Now, do you know Nike tonight? Nike, who was talking about they was pausing their relationship with Ja Morant. Just sold out of his shoe. Not much of a pause, huh, Nike? After they did a welfare check on the young man this morning because they thought, a couple of days ago, was it this morning or something? Because people thought he was acting kind of crazy or something like that, or someone going right or something. Nike couldn't resist. There's a lot of publicity out here about Ja Morant. Okay? So, Nike decides they're going to put his shoes on sale, and those shoes sell out minutes. Okay? This is from MSN.com. It says, Ja Morant's latest signature Nike sneaker, the Ja Morant 1, released on Nike SNKRS app this morning, has sold out within 4 minutes of their release, despite rumors of Nike moving on from their star Memphis Grizzly athlete amidst repeated gun incidents and indefinite suspension from the NBA. The sneaker giant moved forward with the anticipated release of the shoes. Yes, because it's because they had them on stock. And they and it's so much publicity out about him. Of course they're going to sell out men. Okay? Ja Morant was recently suspended by the league after brandishing a firearm for the second time during an Instagram video. The second incident came quickly after Morant was suspended for having a firearm with him during a team road trip in Denver. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has expressed his disappointment with Morant in an interview following the second incident has made it clear the NBA will use Morant has an example of punishment for this type of behavior, okay? Nike released Ja Morant's 1 Hunger this morning, and it sold out within 4 minutes last, okay? That's why Ja Morant ain't worried about y'all. That's why Ja Morant is running around here brandishing a gun a second time, going into, what's that place? With Mama getting the fight. Argument with the salesperson, going after a salesperson in the shoe store allegedly and hollering at them and making them lock themselves in the storage room allegedly, putting out guns on little teenagers allegedly. All these things he allegedly doing, he knows. Nike don't care about him. They just want their coins. At least I hope the young men learn to care about his dancing. Because, see, listen, these investors and people don't care about you. They'll make money off of you acting a fool. They'll make money off of you doing some stupid stuff. As a matter of fact, Nike might have sold the shoe out because they're like, man, that fool might end up hurting himself out here. We still have these Ja Morant shoes on the market. I will never forget when Shahi Khan was on Larry King, and she was talking about Whitney Houston, and she was saying how she hated them having, Whitney Houston, a party. Remember they had that Clive Davis party, and when Whitney was up 8 floors, and everybody was partying at that event. That was terrible. Anyway, but she was saying how the industry don't care. And she was saying that one time one of her managers told her, you know you worth more dead than alive. that made her straighten up real quick, okay? Shaka said, shoot, I was trying to get off them drugs. Because I saw what was getting ready to come. Okay, they like, when they start talking about you, know you're worth more dead than alive. Josh, you know you're worth more dead than alive, right? See, you already getting an NBA problem down these streets. Man, I'm just saying. If you keep acting a fool, child, they'll sell them shoes like a bad habit. Like a legacy. Change your whole legacy and you won't be here to experience. You better love yourself because Nike don't give a damn. The NBA don't give a damn. They can give a damn about their coins. If you keep going, I keep out here acting a fool, it just makes them easier to make money off of you when you gone. Okay? Funny how your shoes sold out. I'm just going to say, this is quite a lot of one-on-one conspiracy. Funny how your shoes sold out a little bit after you, and they had to make a wellness check on you because they thought you might have been, you know, about to do something to yourself. What's that? Nike went on and put you back on? Sound like warning shots to me, but listen, you know, I ain't want to tell you how to live. Hey, you live it, get it, live it how you live it how you get it. Get it how you live it. Whatever you say. I'm just telling you, you better be careful out in these streets because they don't care about you. They will sell your shoes all out like a mug after you gone on the glory or wherever you gone on to. So keep studying and bugging and asking the fool out here if you want to. That's just strange to me. The day after he goes, they had a wellness check on him just because he was on the internet, sounded like he was all sad and messed up and everything. The police went to go check on him, make sure he was okay. And then Nike puts his shoe back up to say, letting you know, we don't care. Okay, long as we get this money. Okay? We don't care if you out here acting a fool. We can punish you right now, but shoot, we got to make our coin. I be telling y'all can go to jail and answer like Kelly. Okay? Kelly's running around here doing all kind of stuff. Having a good old time. And then the bill collector came to collect. And realized he couldn't pay no money, couldn't pay no bill. So they went ahead and put him out there, put him out on Front Street. Oh, come on. Y'all think people in the industry, you know everybody knew he was married. He married Aaliyah at 15. Yeah, my God, didn't know. Yeah, y'all knew. Y'all was taking songs from his ass. Okay, everybody was. R. Kelly was a hot dog, hot dude out there, okay? R. Kelly was writing for everybody. Except he failed to do the things he needed to do. I've already said that on here, okay? The tragedy of R. Kelly. One day I'm going to try to do 20 things R. Kelly did tragically wrong and what you can learn. They don't care. When they making money, it's good times. They be up there. They be encouraging the foolery. Oh, yeah, that girl looks like she's 12 around in here. Is that right? Oh, yeah, you know, you got to hey, just as long as he's stretching out the hips, we don't care. Just turn your cheek, turn your other cheek, act like you don't see. You don't give a care because you was giving, cranking out the shit. But as soon as that money went blank, or them hits start slowing down, child, baby, I didn't need you no more. I said what I said. Ja Morant, be careful out in these streets. I will never forget. I'm going to say one more thing. Remember Whitney Houston, she got died when she died? was she down there? She was telling what? Was she? It was some. It was a strange thing. She was down there. She interrupted an interview Clive Davis was having with her friend. And I remember she was saying, "I've been swimming." It sounded like she was just trying to. I've been getting myself together, you know, and all this stuff. I don't know what she was saying, but it was sounding like. And I was like, when they come to come back, I ain't saying nothing happened to her. I'm just saying that. Listen, people will let you, they will let you kill yourself. They'll let you hang yourself. And then while you killed yourself, they'll party on. You got to care enough about yourself. Okay? And I hope John Morant gets that. You better care enough about yourself. The Rico show don't care about you, baby. They'll let you be out here acting a fool with the thug bunnies and running around and doing and twirling guns in the air and everything until they get all they can get out of you. And then they'll let you go down here. They'll let you go down. They'll let you go down. You done made enough money off of this fool. His basketball's all right. Time for him to go. We won't cover it for him no more. We'll just let that fool go. Okay, that's what happens. That's what happens. That's why you got to care about yourself. Okay. Jay Z not responsible for the 1999. That's my last story of the night. These Jay Z and Beyonce stories is just wow. This has been story after story after story after story after story after. Didn't stab me in 99 despite conviction. Victim finally speaks out. Former music exec Lance Un Rivera is clearing the air about his stabbing 24 years ago, saying Jay-Z absolutely did not do it. And he insists prosecutors got it wrong when they nailed the rapper for the crime. Rivera, best known for his affiliation with Notorious, did sit down with Vlad TV and got candid about the highly publicized stabbing for which Jay ended up getting 3 years probation just as his career was coming up. Rivera said Jay was at the nightclub on a fateful night, but he's not the one who stabbed him in the back with a large blade. As everyone knows, Jay wouldn't have done something like that. However, he's not saying who actually did it. Child, I ain't got time. You coming here 24 years later. After I done served probation. I was Jay. I don't want to hear your story. You could have told them that 24 years ago. Shoot. You don't know who says you. Shut up. Jay-Z, is you part of the what's that thing? The publicity brigade that's been happening this week? Because this show has been a lot. I mean, is it Jay-Z? Is it just about your, because this alleged son is out here going to the Supreme Court and all this stuff? Jay-Z trying to hide his kids, allegedly. Somebody sent me an old story from the old story in the girl in D.C., too. That girl in D.C. Ooh, she looked like a child. That girl in D.C. I don't understand. Man, I know. Listen, you got to claim your children. I don't know if that's his kids or not. I'm just saying, I mean, ain't no sense in going through all of this and hiding all of this and hiding up under this. I understand you don't want to give your DNA out to every Billie Jean that comes up talking about Billie Jean. You know what I'm saying? Not my love, but she's the girl that says that I'm the one, but the kid is not my son. You know, it's a lot of Billie Jean situations out there. Michael Jackson sang about it. I understand you don't want to give your DNA out for every Billie Jean. But you know if you knew this chick or not. And that girl over there in D.C. do look like you. And that little boy that was down there in that Bahamas, he shut up. My bitch. So I just give a good publicity this week. That's just give good publicity to Beyonce. Thank you. Or should I go check in the Ramada Inn? I mean, it's been a ton. I guess it's like a current thing. We bought a new house. Look at this house we bought. Look, we bought the highest house in L.A. Look. We a billionaire. See? Look, even though we done failed with the DVD. I mean, it was just crazy. I was just like, come on, y'all. Look, I didn't stab Rivera.
That is fun.
What's next? What is next? What's the next story? Lemonade wasn't really about me. That wasn't really Salon hitting me in the elevator. I'm waiting. What's the next story? Bring it on. I'm enjoying it. Ooh, let your kids meet your old baby brother and sister. Quit playing. Nah. Got some brothers and sisters out here. Sure. Where's that song? Papa was a rose. So wherever he laid his hat, don't feel bad. Sure, my baby was wrong. So wherever he laid his hat, took his home. And when he died, all he left me was alone. But Jay-Z, in his case, he was a little bit of a fool. My daddy is a rose. My daddy's still a player. Jay-Z, send me your kids, boy. You better quit playing. Sure. Y'all say, tell him to claim his kids and send his kids. You say, fool, go tell him that they're in DNA check. You know that's your baby. Quit playing. So let me tell you something. It's not, that's going to be no good for you. If you a woman and you can zone, I'm not saying them as his kids, because I said they could be Billie Jean. You know what I'm saying? But if you a woman and you know that a man got kids out here in these streets and he ain't taking care of them, you bad as him. And you putting a certain energy on your own children. You ain't got to have a relationship with them and stuff. But you need to claim your kids and send your kids. Trying to make you and me. Especially if you just trying that out here, look like you got just blue eyes in him. Okay, you trying to look perfect, like a little perfect family. People know you was a hoe back in the day, allegedly. So do what you got to do. I saw one interview with Jay-Z. It was an interview years ago, and it was like a women, some strippers next to him or something. Like, he was all, they was doing something. They was massaging all the other stuff. It was just ratchet. It was years ago. It was old. It was terrible. I was like, what is this, a sex? Like, the dude was interviewing him, and they had girls or strippers, like, rubbing all these. It was wild. It was some wild ish. I think that was Jay-Z. I saw it. It was, like, a long time ago I saw this interview. I was like, what is going on here? I was like, you know some ratchet stuff. You know you was in Korean stepmom's work. Let me just say, if these is your children, don't play no games. Don't put no things on your own kids and your own family. Get on and give these people peace. This boy fighting awfully hard, though, because he really believes this what his mama said. And, you know, I ain't saying that it's true. And I understand, I can respect, but if you know, Stacey, you know, you should be going and claiming these kids. This is terrible. Yeah. Ain't my business. I'm just trying to say. Out there, if you have illegitimate children, I mean, that you don't know about, you're not so sure, and you say, you know, I did mess with that girl. I had a little bit of something fun. Then you're going to take a test. Okay? Don't be sitting out here talking about, I don't know. I might have someone out there. Look, if you know that there's somebody out here that could be really your kid and they saying this stuff, so I'm going to take it. These people's minds. And a kid has a right to know where they're from, okay? Damn. How terrible are these streets. Okay? All right, you guys. We have come to the end of the show. Listen, I am going to try to have a show Saturday. I'm going to try. I can't promise y'all nothing. But I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. The rest of your weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, so have a really good one. Eat lots of really good food. I'm going to try to have a show Saturday, okay? We can talk more about some of the stuff we talked today. But tonight, we're going to leave out with one of my favorite songs, Jill Scott, Love You. It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. I'm out. I'll see y'all next week. See y'all Saturday, hopefully. All right, bye.
It's hard not to listen. It's so nice.
If I called you, could you call back so I could tell you that I miss you? Wanna talk to you, wanna be there, wanna hold you, wanna listen. No babies, I'm crazy to let love like you go, baby. I don't know what it's all about, but I'm trying to figure out, sonny, I love you. I wish it took a thing at all. I mean, when we talk, it's all short and shit, and it normally be about the weather. I don't wanna talk about the weather. I wanna get to know you, be where you are. Shut up, let me show you. I was a sucker, cause I messed it up. I was a sucker, baby, but I love you. I was a dupe to think it through. I love you, baby. Come on, let me get through. I love you.
For listening to me like you do every week. I appreciate y'all. For the archive listeners, shout out to y'all. Remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatwood Facebook page on Facebook. You can also hit me up on C Chatwood Show on and Carlotta 72 on Twitter and Carly, Carlys underscore galaxy on Instagram, okay? Now, remember, sometimes I'm going to be taping shows and I'm not going to have, like, any music in them. I'm just going to tape them because I'm doing it for a new format. So every now and then you guys may hear me come on and kind of do something for a new format, and I will let you know what that format is. But remember, you can always catch these shows on archive through blogtalkradio.com, okay? Or you can catch the shows through Apple. A podcast, okay? I am on Apple, okay? So remember Apple and Blog Talk Radio, okay? And I will let you guys know when I'm uploading to the new form, to the new one, okay? The new platform, and I'll let you guys know what that is soon, okay? But on the new platform, it won't be like, you know, this one, okay? So, but it'll be fun, and I hope you guys get excited about it, okay? Thank you again for listening. I will see y'all hopefully Saturday, but we're going to go out with some Evelyn Champagne King. I'm in love. I'll see y'all. Bye.